Say something, goddammit. You're on television. You're live to the whole world.
Hello and welcome to another movie podcast. My name is Oscar, and with me today is
Ralph.
And flying from overseas somewhere is...
It's Luke, and I'm on the same continent as you are.
Same hemisphere?
Yes.
Oh, all right. From California, right? The sunny beaches of California.
Not where I am. It's all desert and mountains.
Great. Anyway, this is episode number 98. I don't know where you are. I keep forgetting where you are. And today's show is going to be our first of the year, meaning that it is our regular show. And our regular show really consists of three movies. The three movies today will be The Invisible Man with Elizabeth Moss, right?
Yeah, Kate Moss's sister.
Is that true?
I don't think so.
I don't think, yeah. I always confuse Elizabeth Moss with her Mad Men name sometimes. Olsen, Elizabeth Olsen, Peggy Olsen, sorry. Anyway, doesn't matter. The Invisible Man, we're going to be doing a Netflix original movie called Horse Girl. Starring Brie Larson. No, that's not her name. Alison Brie. Sounds the same. And we're going to conclude our show with our first in a marathon series with a movie called The Third Man from 1940-something. I think 49. And that's going to be the whole show for today. You can always follow this show and find all of our other shows and everything we have at otherpodcast.com. Over there, you can easily check out everything we've been up to for the last 4 years. I think four and change a little bit. And most recently, we covered our top movies of the decade. You know, the decade we just left. So check that out. It's pretty great. I just re-listened to it, and we have a lot of great choices on there. I love it. And not to mention all of our other top tens, our previous bonus episodes from previous years. And, you know, other marathons we've got going on there. A lot of movies. A lot of movies. That covering big and small on there. So check it out at otherpodcast.com. You can also send feedback to podmoviecast@gmail.com. For, you know, anything you desire, if you just want to chat, I'm fine with that too. We don't have like a message board or anything, but emailing is the best way to contact us. And we haven't said this in a while, Ralph, but really the best way to show support to our show, if anyone can and wants to, is through iTunes, right? You know, through the star rating they have on there. It is still one of the best, if not the best, some people argue it's the best way to support any show, to get other people in their analytical, like, ways of, you know, whatever they do over there, to get others to listen and find our show, you know, when they're searching and stuff. Especially in this day and age, as podcasting is becoming more and more corporate, you know, we're still hella indie. So, like, you know, that's the best way to show support. Now, before we get to our first review of The Invisible Man, Luke, Ralph, and myself are going to get into our recent discoveries. And Luke, you're going to start us off today, and you have three movies, right?
Yes, I do, but they're all actually three documentaries.
I mean, we know you, so yeah. No surprise there.
All right. First one I have up is Super Size Me 2, Holy Chicken.
Pretty much over the chicken menu.
No, it's Morgan Spurlock. He's back, and he's pretty much saying, has the fast food industry changed? Because everything seems like it's all healthier and everything like that. So the best way to do that is he opens up his own fast food restaurant, and he goes through the entire process of making his own, chicken sandwich-based fast food restaurant, from getting the eggs to getting the farmland and everything like that. Then as far as, like, how he goes about marketing and making the sandwich, hiring people, and pretty much everything. Yeah. And there's a lot of... And he gets a lot of pushback from, like, the big chicken corporations and, like, the lobby company and all that stuff. But it's a really good eye-opener.
See, you know, when you hear a title like Super Size Me 2, first of all, no one says Super Size Me anymore. So I figured, like, I know just this call Super Size Me 2 to connect it to the original from the, what?
Yeah.
15 years ago, was it? More?
20 years ago? No, I don't think it was 20. I think it was 2004?
Still a while ago. And,
yeah.
And then when you think of that title, I think it feels like it's aging itself. I thought this movie was older. But I didn't know that he actually built the place. That's great.
Yeah.
So how was it?
Oh, it's really good. It's very eye-opening on some of the bullshit that we're fed, like marketing-wise. Like, you know, you go to a store, you look at a chicken, you're buying a chicken breast, it's hormone-free. Versus you see another packaging that doesn't have that same label. Well, I'll tell you one thing, that's bullshit, because technically you can never use hormones in chickens. They're just putting the hormone free because it's marketing for them. That's all it is. They were never actually allowed legally to put hormones in chickens. That's like one thing.
So whether or not it has hormones...
They'll just put it there.
The label says it. Right.
Yeah.
It's like saying you can buy this candy, there is no cocaine in it now.
Right, pretty much.
But it never was in any of them. Right?
Corona-free.
Right, you could say that, yeah.
It's timely.
Very timely, yes. Let's hope just timely to this year, yeah?
Or there are things they just go about like, these are free-range chickens, and, you know, people expect, what do you expect out of a free-range chicken? That it's like on like a fucking field or something just chilling, or it's cage-free. Technically, chickens are never stored in cages. But they'll put that claim there. Cage-free chickens.
Aren't they on a like some sort of like assembly line thing?
No, they're just chilling on like a normal like land in like a barn or some shit. You'll see. I definitely recommend people checking this out. It's great. And I would love like, because he made that like restaurant's like a pop-up thing. But people are actually interested into franchising that out and showing like his ideals like to the other, you know, to everyone that goes there.
So what did he, okay, well, I guess I don't want you to spoil the thing about like what he did differently compared to other chains or chicken restaurant type things, but I guess I'll save that for, we don't want to talk about the movie itself here, but right. Too much.
He pretty but, much that, if you went yeah. to eat there, he showed you really like
what's like, involved.
What's involved, yeah. Yeah. Like, no bullshit. It's great.
Gotcha. No, that's cool. That's, where is it available?
I watched it on Amazon Prime. It was free to watch, so.
With a Prime subscription?
Yes.
Cool. So I have to watch it.
It might be free on YouTube, but it might be ad-supported, I think. I'm not sure.
All right, what's your next one?
My next one is another documentary called One Child Nation. And it is a 2019 documentary about China. And the director basically goes back to China after having her first child and explores the whole one-child policy that was from 1979 to 2015. So pretty much if you were in like the main cities of China, you were only able to have one child due to the population issue that they had. However, yeah. There was like a little loophole. If you lived in like a more rural area, you were able to have like two kids because she actually had a brother growing up in that time. But it's fucking crazy what these Chinese did over there. Oh my God.
It also depend on if your firstborn was like a male or a female or something like that?
No, I don't remember that. They did have a whole thing where how they would like literally like leave like girls out in like the fucking market because they didn't know what to do with them, and like people wouldn't take them, fucking they would just die, and like, you know, fucking bugs would eat them up and shit. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah, I know a lot of documentaries and like stories and newspaper articles and just art pieces like movies and other things really like sprung up because of this one child nation policy.
Right, and it's pretty gruesome because they show some, like, at one point they were doing, like, forced abortions and sterilizations, and one lady was like, yeah, I did about 50 to 60,000 of these in my time while I was employed to do that, you know? And to her it was like, I know. And she had to, like, they had pictures of, like, they literally had to, like...
population of a town.
Right.
Or more.
They would go in and, like, force, like, the village officials would go in, kidnap the woman, and force her into a sterilization or an abortion. Then they had no places to put them, so a guy was, like, walking around, like, to, like, a garbage dump, and he was finding these yellow, like, hospital bags with fucking fetuses in them. Because they didn't dispose of it, and then it went into this whole, like, how people were finding these kids, you know, that they were abandoned. selling them to orphanages, and then the orphanages would sell them to Americans.
So. Dude. Yeah. Yeah, I knew it was bad, but I want to see this documentary.
Yeah.
This is one I heard before, but
yes,
last year, right?
Yes. August 9th, 2019, and it's an Amazon one, so obviously it's on Amazon Prime.
Oh, okay. That's two Amazons. Is the next one Amazon too?
No. The last one was on Netflix, and someone just told me about it because it was like a work discussion where somebody was talking about CrossFit, and this guy's like, oh, watch Froning. I'm like, what the fuck's a Froning? And he's like, oh, no, Froning's a guy. And I'm like, oh, okay. Froning is... It's called Froning, the Fittest Man on Earth or something. And it's about this guy, Rich Froning. And he is like a four-time winner of like the CrossFit Games. Which is like, he means he's really fucking fit from, you know, all the workouts that he does. That's a very pro-CrossFit kind of documentary.
Propaganda?
I don't want to say propaganda, but yeah, it's very much like that.
Well, did he feel like propaganda?
No, it literally just showed one guy who all he does, like, pretty much like, is just work out nonstop day in and day out to become, like, just the best at everything. Like, one year he struggled with, like, a swimming in, like, one of the competitions. Fucking next year he nails it because all he did was focus on that and just, I don't know. Like, Froning is, like, a big name in the CrossFit community.
So what does he do for a job?
That's his job. Like, I guess, I think he might have like a gym or something, but I don't know.
No, you don't say.
I'm pretty sure with all the endorsements he gets and money from the CrossFit competitions, he's really well off.
I guess. All right.
I don't know. Somehow only in this generation can you make a living on that.
Yeah.
Right? Only in this time. Maybe a certain time, other, but like... Not much
specifically
more.
This time.
Not much more. I mean,
it's amazing where you can just get money from, though.
Yeah, it's really amazing. This is one of those amazing things. I don't know what the hell. Half of the words that Luke said about this movie, I have no idea what they mean. that's Froning or Froning?
Froning. Froning.
Okay, because when I first saw it on the Google thing doc here, it's I don't know what it was. I thought it was like a term for something else. But it's a name, apparently. Mm-hmm. All right. That's Froning. So it didn't feel propaganda-y. It just felt, what, like...
like, oh, hey, go CrossFit, you know? If you want to do, like, be the best version of yourself, you know? I guess CrossFit's the way to go, and yeah.
Did it sell you?
No.
For those listening at home... We're three fat asses.
Yeah, he was laying down eating.
Well, no, like so. Here's the thing: CrossFit gyms are like way more expensive than a regular gym because it's like you do these classes and you also have like you get like training with them, like personalized training, to do like what they do. So that's why it's like they're usually like around $200 a month, you know, versus like your Planet Fitness is $10 a month.
Damn. All right. Well, that's that. I will definitely watch the other movies.
Right.
not that. Yeah, well, just, you know, my interest. That's how documentaries work. It's all about the interest of the subject.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, anyway, when you come to watching it. So that's awesome. That's what Luke's been watching. Raph, you have four things on here. Two of them are mine as well, so I'll just jump in with those when you mention them. But
dope.
Go ahead.
Dope. Yeah, my first one is the Sonic the Hedgehog movie that just came out earlier this year.
Which I did want to see.
I'll read the quick synopsis. So after discovering a small, blue, fast hedgehog, a small-town police officer must help it defeat an evil genius who wants to do experiments on it. Very on the nose. This is directed by Jeff Fowler. Written by probably too many people, but it is what it is. Patrick Casey and Josh Miller. Has Jim Carrey in it, if anybody cares.
I like Jim Carrey.
How is he?
And James Marsden, who's in it way more. And Ben Schwartz, who plays Sonic, which is obviously in it all over the place. I'm not going to lie. It's an okay video game movie. It's, I don't know where to rank it.
Is it better than Street Fighter? Video game
echelon. What happened?
Is it better than Street Fighter?
Why would that be the comparison? Because
it's the ultimate... movie. It's the best one ever.
That's not true.
Why would
any stretch of any?
Why would you lie? So
Mortal Kombat clearly wins that one.
What?
That's why they made three of them.
Two of them.
Isn't there a third?
No, there's that YouTube video that they made professionally, but it was like on the fly. It wasn't a real one.
Oh yeah, that one looked dope.
That was good.
Yeah,
same thing with the Power Rangers one. Remember
that dope ass one? Yeah, that looked really.
Those are all fan made. Of course, the best ones are fan made, not at all like by
right. Anyways,
studio people. Yeah.
That being said,
yeah.
The movie was okay. It was it's around the Detective Pikachu level.
You mean like kids?
Like kids movie.
Kid adventure.
Yeah. They put a good effort into it. Some stuff was funny. Some stuff felt a little dated. Jim Carrey is really out there. So it's fun to watch. Other than that, I like that they put a story to Sonic. There's a random story to Sonic that I've never even heard or thought about before.
I don't know the story. I don't know the history of Sonic that much. I've only played the first three, and that's it.
There's no history. You're just fucking killing some guys. They brought Dr. Robotnik.
Just releasing a lot of bunnies from Max.
Yeah, exactly. Anyways, it was fun. It was a fun movie to watch, nonetheless. I took Leo, obviously. I'd recommend to watch it, yeah. I mean, just no reason why you shouldn't go on a Tuesday to watch it for $5.
Yeah, that's what I was going to... I tried
it. You have AMC stubs, there's no absolutely zero reason why you shouldn't go watch it in the best possible quality and be like, well, I got to see a movie.
I heard it was actually kind of fun. So, and that sold me enough to watch it because at first I was just curious about, because of the controversy last year.
Right.
But, and it's Sonic. And I grew up with Sonic. But, yeah, I was just mildly curious, and then I heard it was good, so I'm like, okay, and my curiosity rose a little bit. But maybe I'll have to, I don't know, if I miss it, I'll just have to watch it when it comes out. Awesome. So that's Sonic the Hedgehog. That's the whole title, right?
It's called Sonic the Hedgehog, yes.
Okay. All right. Next one on here, we've both seen.
My next one on here, yeah, we've both seen if my phone decides to load. It's, I wanted to read the original title of this, but.
Oh, that's an original title.
There is an original title. It's Birds of Prey.
Oh.
That's the movie, right? It's the Harley Quinn movie.
I thought you were going to say The Onward. I'm like...
Oh, sorry. Is that the next one?
On the thing, yeah.
Oh, I forgot. I'm sorry.
It doesn't have to be. Yeah, it's okay.
And my phone.
Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn. Right?
Yeah.
The title has been retitled to Harley Quinn, Birds of Prey, something like that. And the
Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn.
I don't know why they didn't stuck to their guns. They just fucking do it. It's a great title.
Because it was bombing?
The title was bombing?
No, like the movie was bombing in theater, so they're like, we got to make sure people know Harley Quinn is in this.
No, I know what...
No,
know.
They changed it right before the movie, when the movie came out.
I think, yeah, like a week before, not even.
But they changed it after, I think, a premiere of it, like, at, you know, whatever, the one the one Chinese week before premiere, the Chinese probably. Theater premiere, yeah.
It's possible, but like... I like the original title. I don't know why they didn't just keep it.
I don't know either. That being said, this is directed by Kathy Yan, written by Christina Hodson and Paul Dini. Or Paul Dini. Well, created by Paul Dini and Bruce Timm. Harley Quinn. So, women.
Yeah.
Women power. Women power, women writers, women actors.
This
women
is, directors. Yeah, woman director, too.
Margot Robbie, starring as Harley Quinn. Rosie Perez. Mary Elizabeth Winstead. Journey Smollett-Bell. Ewan McGregor plays, what's it called, Black Mask?
The Joker stand-in, you mean?
The Joker stand-in, yeah. After splitting with the Joker, Harley Quinn joins superheroes Black Canary, Huntress, and Renee Montoya to save a young girl from an evil crime lord.
Not a great title, not a great description, because that happens way later.
Right, exactly. other than that, I mean, the movies, I had fun watching the movie overall. Overall, I thought it was a cool in-between. I love the simple destruction and the carefree nature of what Harley Quinn is and has been that just kind of roams around her. And I thought they did a good job with her overall. It does obviously heavily rely on her, which is good. She did a good job for playing Harley Quinn and how it went and what you want out of her, I guess. And then she's a little bit crazy, a little bit out there. I thought the beginning of the movie did a decent enough job. Took a little long. And then the movie just kind of wraps up also with the ending part once they get to the one scene where they actually gather up.
Yes.
But other than that, there was some cool stuff going on, cool money shots. blowing up explosions and stuff like that.
Blowing up explosions.
Yeah.
See those barrels of explosions? Let's blow them up.
I mean, it was just funny. It just felt like crime is rampant. And where's Batman? A, right? And B, it's obviously not that important.
That's why he's not there.
Right. No, it's funny. It's not that important, but Jesus Christ, what's going on in this city that's not that important.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so I this movie is fun. It's great. I really liked it. This is such a fun movie. Margot Robbie owns it. Yeah. There's not a single lick of dishonest bone in her like interpretation of Harley Quinn. You know, it feels very earnest in that way. The movie tries a lot of like editing things with the timeline and the who's telling the story at what time or how to create like better. Not suspense, maybe, but like tension, kind of like a fun tension out of the plot. And it kind of fails half the time. And that's one part that sucks about the movie. And like I said, and like we said earlier, the Birds of Prey angle of the movie, it takes a long time to get there. I don't know if I would necessarily call this movie a Birds of Prey. It's like an origin story of them.
Right, yeah. Like, I don't know if I would do that either. But
sometimes, but I don't know what else to call it because that title is great. The long title, not the beginning part of that title. Anyway. But I want to say that the action is the best DC has done and always. It's the best action as far as hand-to-hand combat. Luke, have you not seen this movie?
I have not, no. So I'm interested because, I mean, I only heard like really negative things about this movie.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know what people have. I thought we already learned from the Justice League horrible movie and from
this is way better than Suicide Squad. DC movies
that Shazam!
And we haven't we learned from those two movies not to expect some fucking Marvel thing or some sort of Nolan DC Batman thing? They're not the same movies, guys. These movies are perfect. Now this one and like Shazam, and from what I hear of Aquaman, they kind of fit in this like fun time movie.
They're
marketed that way. Yeah. I don't know why it works. Yeah. Like I said, the timeline thing sucked. The editing is not great. The story is insane. Whatever plot was going on in this movie, Ralph, it's crazy. It doesn't make sense, really. But it makes sense for the character and everything. And like I said, the hand-to-hand combat alone is worth watching this movie. So, Luke, I recommend it for that. There's a scene where Harley Quinn is fucking in a police station, fucking taking down fools, and the fucking choreography of the action in that scene and other scenes too. It's super great. It's so worth it. It's so much fun to watch. It's the funniest I've ever seen. It's the best action I've seen in any DC movie.
Yeah, and I like the flashbacks or the way she explains everything.
I like some of them. But no.
Well, for the police station one was pretty cool, how she gets back to it. Yeah. And she has to go to this long explanations of things.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fun. Yeah. Like you said, Oscar, it's
and Rosie Perez, I want her in every movie. Always. She plays a cop in the movie. And obviously people who grew up in the 90s know exactly who Rosie Perez is. So anyway, so yeah, that's Birds of Prey. Have you seen White Men Can Jump?
Maybe a long, long time ago.
Well, yeah, in the 90s with Woody Harrelson and Wesley Snipes.
Yeah. Again, plays, a long time ago.
Okay, well, she's a girlfriend. Anyway, she's in a lot of things. Okay, she's also in Do the Right Thing, right, in the beginning? Yeah, she plays fuck me, I'm trying to remember names now. And
you're
it's
talking about movies he's never seen or cares to.
He's seen you've seen Do the Right Thing.
Yeah, didn't we talk about it like on an episode of?
I think on our last podcast.
Yeah.
But so, I know you've seen it, yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. She's good actress.
All right. Onward is the next movie.
Yeah.
And it's a perfect word to use to keep this shit going. This is the Pixar's latest movie. Written and directed by Dan Scanlon. Also, Keith Bunin, Jason Headley are the ones who wrote it as well. This is, Disney Pixar is now it says, right? That doesn't just say Pixar.
No, it does not.
Set in a suburban fantasy world, two teenage elf brothers embark on a quest to discover if there's still magic out there. That's iffy to say the least. Tom Holland, Chris Pratt, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Octavia Spencer, Mel Rodriguez, all these people are in these movies. Ellie Wong. Oh, yeah, she is. I thought that was her. Lena Waithe. These are all people. These are all voice actors, of course. This movie was, I don't know, how do I say this? I was not looking forward to this movie. This movie looked horrible in every preview I've seen, which is the same preview because they didn't really change it. Every time I went to the theaters, and I was like, man, this movie doesn't look like it's going to be that good from Pixar. But of course, it is good. Like, it's still good. It's still fun to watch. It's a cool story. It's definitely a build-up movie. It's very Steven Spielberg-esque in that aspect, where it wants to build up for, like, money shots at the end. It's, like, making you feel bad, or, like, hitting you little by little jabs. And then the very end, you're supposed to cry at one point, right?
Okay.
Kind of that in that aspect. Only Steven Spielberg does it, like, six times in the movie. Big jabs where, like, cry. Yeah. Cry, you know? At least that's how I take most of his movies that are emotional in that aspect, right? Like Schindler's List. But this one was, yeah, I found it kind of hopeful, a good coming of age movie. It's still coming of age also.
Yeah.
Coming to terms almost with things. Yeah, I liked it. I overall felt leaving the movie, it was like, hey man, like, there's this, you know, moral of the story is, if you actually pay attention to it, all this, you know, cool stuff in it that you should get to, because I don't want to ruin it, so I'm kind of talking around it. So yeah, I had fun overall with it. I don't know where it ranks in the Pixar world, probably middle to lower, but still pretty good. There's a lot of Pixar movies though. And I really like the short. In the beginning, which is kind of crazy.
The Simpsons.
Yeah, the Simpsons short.
Spoilers. I want to see this movie.
Well, we're not going to tell you what's.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil the movie. But I really like the world, and I feel like they can use this world somewhere. But I think I've said that before about Pixar movies. You can use this world in different parts, in different for other movies, for shows. I don't know. Maybe Disney will do something with that, but I just feel like you can do something in this world.
Yeah, I don't know. It's almost like I feel like when it comes to the world building of stuff of Pixar, it seems like they've been known to open up a magical version of a world either that we know or that we think we know, right? Or that we've never heard or we never thought of before, right? Up has a good out of nowhere, you know, the whole land above the air thing, right? And like Finding Nemo, it's about the fish under the sea and Toy Story, right? And I feel like they their job is never to really super explore them because it's just like it's just introducing the world in the one movie they're in,
right?
And then dropping the rest and just focusing on the emotional stuff, which is good. But they never like I don't know if you're gonna see a lot of this world off. Is my point?
No, yeah. I know I won't. But I'm saying is like it
would be cool, but they're not gonna see it. Yeah, exactly. So. I also enjoyed the movie. I enjoyed it fine. I feel like it is middle tier Pixar, and I like the idea, the notion of what do you call it, like humanity taking the easy route when it comes to utilizing technology to instead of learning the hard way to create light in a dark room with magic, which takes years and practice and all that. No, just discover electricity and put a light bulb in, right? And everyone uses it. Just flip the switch, super easy, right? Now obviously there's a few shortcuts there. The fact that someone invented electricity is a fucking marvel already. It's like magic already.
Right. Right. But way they make it seem in the movie. Right,
of course. Yeah. It's a propaganda rough for the anti technology. Anyway. So yeah, I like that idea of it, and also that just because that was part of the old world or the old way of things doesn't mean that it's gone. I like that too. It's a nice notion. And the whole thing with the father angle is pretty good. Has some really good hijinks in the movie. I like the discovery of magic as it goes along. It's pretty cool. It feels like a video game sometimes, like a quest from a video game. It's definitely built like a D&D campaign kind of. And so, yeah, if any of those things intrigue you as a listener out there.
It totally does. Yeah,
I think you would enjoy this movie. It would be enjoyable for you. So
very much
check
so.
It out overall, onward. And like I said, the short film for The Simpsons, I almost want to have a discussion about this entirely. I don't know what this means for The Simpsons, but it's great. It's a fun little short with Maggie. It's great. I'm not going to spoil anything.
Yeah. It is great.
I know Maggie's in there now. Fucking spoiler.
Oh, yeah. God forbid.
Heaven forbid. Yeah, but no Homer. But anyways, the Yeah, it does say a lot about, like, what did they combine with Fox? Or I guess not Fox, just Simpsons, whoever owns the rights for Simpsons.
I don't know what's going
on. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, wait, Simpsons didn't Disney buy out Fox, or...
Did they?
Yeah, didn't they? Century, 20th Century Fox?
20th Century Fox, maybe, yeah.
Yeah. And not, I think there's many types of Fox.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway. All right, so that's that one. You still have one more, Ralph.
I do. And my last movie is The Farewell. This is a movie that was one of those 99 cent rentals that I was totally looking forward to last year, but I didn't get to watch it. This is written and directed by Lulu Wang. I'll read the quick description. A Chinese family discovers their grandmother has only a short while left to live and decides to keep her in the dark, scheduling a wedding together before she dies. A very morbid. This is with Xu Zhen Zhao, Awkwafina, X-Mayo. These are all real names. Hong Lu, Hong Lin, Diana Lin. Who else we got that are big? I can keep reading, but you probably wouldn't know their names, sadly to say. This is a cool movie, though. It's based on a real event for, I think, the
I heard the American, what's that
podcast? This American Life
story of it.
Yeah, so did I. And I guess this was probably piqued my interest more than it would have.
Yeah.
But it's cool because it is a kind of morality thing, and it's a very Western / Eastern culture of would you want to know if you're going to die kind of thing. If you have cancer, that's what the case in this is, right? If you have anything like that. And in the East Coast, they'll be like, oh, in the East Coast, in the Eastern culture, they would say, no, let them live their life to full. And then once it comes down to it, if they actually get sick really bad, they'll tell them, hey, you had cancer, blah, blah, blah. But, you're going in a better place. You lived your life, let's not let you become a burden on everybody, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Compared to here, I think we would want to know and we would want to fight it, and then we would want to go through the struggles and blah, blah, blah.
We got to rack up those sympathy points.
We do. Right, exactly. Then, whatever the case is. And it's kind of the struggle for this this actress who's played by Awkwafina, Billy, who is like torn because it's a grandmother and she wants to tell her. But at the same time, she also wants to express the emotions, but she can't. She's being held back. And it's a really cool movie.
I hear it's great. I want
to
see it.
Yeah, they travel to China. So most of the movie takes place in China. And the first half takes place in the United States and she's in New York. And it's just funny because she's talking to her grandma on the phone and you can hear her having conversations. And you see the little lies that they're telling each other. Like, no, I'm doing these things. And but in reality, they're all worried about each other. But they're willing to do white lies. And this is just like a big white lie almost, right? Like you're doing it for her well-being, but at the same time, you're doing it. It's not for her well-being because she's sick. So what do you do? And it's a really cool really cool story for that aspect, and just to watch it and watch how everybody else reacts, and just a really big different culture shock, I guess, culture differences and how they have to, how they put up with things or how they live through it and what the norms are in a different culture, like in China. It's a really cool, heartwarming story to kind of watch and kind of come to grasps of what would you want, I guess, in this scenario also, at least that's how I see it through my Western brain, right?
Yeah.
For them, I'm sure it's just just do it. It is what it is. We wouldn't even have a second thought about it. But yeah, super cool movie. And if you missed it, I think, I don't know if it's still available for 99 cents. I would definitely recommend it to
rent. Yeah, I rented it for that much, but I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, definitely recommend it. Actually, it says watch on Prime Video included with Prime now.
Oh wow!
So very now nice. It's on Prime, according to
$3.99,
which is owned by,
that's right,
Prime or Amazon.
Yeah, yeah. And this is the movie. It won the Independent Spirit Award, I think, for best director or maybe best movie. I think best movie.
I think so. Yeah,
best indie movie. So definitely. A lot of people were feeling bad that it got snubbed on the Oscars. That's how big it is. I'm saying that people wanted this movie to succeed so much because I hear it's really good. So
yeah, it really was.
All right, that's The Farewell, and that's what I've been watching. Obviously, two of those were mine as well, so I'm skipping my two because I just mentioned them. But the last one here I have is The Rhythm Section that stars Jude Law and Blake Lively, as I call her. This movie, I would say, Roth, you can fucking skip.
Really?
So this movie is
that good, huh?
Yeah, dude. It's so it was so I when I first saw it, and it was just a movie because I like Blake Lively overall. I like Jude Law, right? And I like, you know, spy stuff. That's it. That's all I knew about it. That's what I went into, right? And overall, it delivers on those points. Like Blake Lively is doing a good job. Really good job, actually. She's acting the fuck out of it. Jude Law, I mean, maybe not as much, but he's still pretty good, right? He's like a stoic trainer type. And this movie, I couldn't tell you anything that really makes sense. And but as far as spy movies go, I mean, I've seen worse. And I just gotta say, I think people thought this movie was going to be a more of an action heavy, or like at least a lot of like typical spy action story stuff in it. And it has all of that, but the movie tries its very best to show you that it doesn't want to highlight in it. Like it wants to make you feel real, I guess. And through the eyes of a person suffering this, well, it's the story is that this Blake Lively's character's family got killed in a airplane explosion caused by some terrorist. You know, mm-hmm. And after living her life as a hooker and a drug addict, she gets involved into the people that, you know, like people that want to stop the people that led to that bomb, right, or whatever. And they involve her into like, oh, this is who did it. This is what, you know, they haven't been caught yet. You want to give your testimony. And it goes from there to like her wanting revenge. And the movie becomes like a revenge story. But it becomes the slowest burn, different kind of revenge movie that you'll ever imagine. And I think a lot of people expecting anything you might expect from that kind of story that I just gave you would be bored to tears from it, because it doesn't do any of that. It chooses to like pontificate on the failures of her trying to succeed on something that she can't in a world that is way better at it than her, and all this other stuff. And I like some of that stuff. I came out of the movie not hating it for those things, but then I heard a couple reviews and I read one and I was like, oh shit, everyone hates this fucking movie. People were expecting completely different things, and I'm like, I guess if the movie was trying to subvert those things, I guess the movie is a failure. So, you know, so I might have to recalibrate what I thought.
Are those people just complaining about their expectations of the movie?
Yeah, but though? No, but it's overall. This movie made so nothing money. It's like the slowest. It's like the worst bomb in recent history, apparently, for the kind of movie that it is. And its release of how many theaters there were when it came out.
1 billion theaters.
1 billion, yes.
Yes, yes.
So, I don't know. It's like, like I said, for me, it was a mixed bag of good and bad, right? But, so it's not like I'll watch it again or anything, but there was a lot of good stuff in the movie still. I was able to enjoy without all that stuff, but I also don't remember much of the trailers. I think I saw one, and I don't remember it, so I didn't go in with high expectations either, so. I don't know. So people are bitching way worse about it than I am, but it should be said, though, if you expect a certain kind of movie, maybe don't watch it.
Good.
Just watch a movie for what it is. I mean, that's how we all should do it anyway. So, yeah, that's the rhythm section. I don't know how else to talk about it. It'll be free.
Now, why is probably. It called right. the rhythm section?
That's another thing. This is, okay, the idea for the rhythm section, like why it's called that in the movie, it's good. It's a good reason. I really like it.
So that's the only, like, worthy part?
But it's a terrible title. It's a terrible title for a movie. Terrible title for this movie. It's not about drumming. It doesn't make any sense.
That's what I was confused about.
It's a dumb title for this movie, especially, you know, coming out of. It's not like it has like a lot of like buzz coming around it. It's not doing anything, and the title doesn't help it at all.
Yeah,
the title should reflect a little more better than that. I think it reflects the like this personal nature with her.
Should it be called "Not Your Expectations"?
Not Your Expectations section. Yeah, the nosebleed section. It should be called. Okay. No, I'm kidding, obviously. But it should be called something relating to the fucking genre that it's in, you know? Like, just right. not fucking the rhythm section. So, do you want to know why it's called that, Luke?
Yeah, go ahead. Because I'll never see the movie.
Yeah, you'll never see. I mean, I barely remember as I speak, so I'm going to try to remember as I tell you. The rhythm section is like this thing with Blake Lively's character, like... when she's being trained to be a killer for her revenge thing, she... Jula tells her it's like a way of centering yourself, like something with the heart and the beat of the heart and how it can just kill you or save your life if you like control your rhythm section. It's like some, I don't remember. I'm forgetting as I'm telling you, honestly. It's something to do with the way she perceives the terror around her and the way she fucking, you know, lets like everyone control, like the situations get out of hand and whatever, get her heated or get her to be emotionally shot. And it's about like controlling your systems inside your body to like not betray you. And they call that in the movie the rhythm session, but they only mention it once and never bring it up again until like one part at the end. And I'm like, whatever. I'm sure in the book, because it's based on the book, it's amazing, but they fucked it up in the movie for that. So I don't know, man. It doesn't make sense. There's no. It's not like she was like a musical prodigy or anything. So don't expect that. Yeah, I don't know.
So it's not like a Whiplash 2, huh?
No.
All right.
The Whiplash thing.
Yeah, nice. All right, so that's our recent discovery. It's a little long there. We're going to take a little break. When we come back, we will review our first film of the evening, which Luke will not be available for. He didn't get to see it. It's The Invisible Man.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
What happened to him?
He cut his wrists. Per his final wishes, you're getting $5 million. Contingent, of course, on the fine print. He can't be ruled to be mentally incompetent.
Doesn't make any sense.
What?
Adrian wouldn't kill himself.
Listen, you're getting your freedom back, okay? Don't let him haunt you.
Hello? I'm scared.
You don't have to be scared of him anymore.
He was a sociopath, completely in control of everything. He said that wherever I went, he would find me, walk right up to me, and I wouldn't be able to see him.
Are you okay?
Someone's sitting in that chair.
I found something that can prove what I'm experiencing.
You need help. Adrian is dead.
I went to his house today.
He's not dead.
I have a pile of ashes in the box that would disagree with you.
He has figured out a way to be invisible.
When Cecilia's abusive ex-boyfriend takes his own life and leaves her his fortune, she suspects his death was a hoax. As a series of coincidences turn lethal, Cecilia works to prove that she is being hunted by someone no one could see. The Invisible Man, yeah, see? It stars Elizabeth Moss, Oliver Jackson Cohn, Harriet Dwyer, or Dyer, maybe, Aldis Hodge. Aldis Hodge is great. Storm Reid. What do I know Storm Reid from?
I don't know. Look it up real quick.
No, from something.
Wrinkle in Time, Slight.
Wrinkle in Time, yes.
Euphoria.
Euphoria, that's it. That's the one. She plays a sister. I remember now. Michael Dorman, Renee Lim, Benedict Hardy. This movie is written and directed by Lee Wannell, or Wannell, maybe, based on the classic H.G. Wells novel. Modernized, of course. But, yeah, based on that. This is The Invisible Man, the latest installment of The Invisible Man, right?
Hollow Man.
There's a few of them. Hollow Man technically doesn't count.
I know it doesn't, but
it's like
reminds me a lot of it.
But it is heavily inspired, obviously, by it.
Very.
Been a lot of takes on The Invisible Man. You know, it's not as popular as Frankenstein, of course, or as The Mummy, maybe. But it's up there. And it's been satirized before. It's been made into many different kinds of things.
Right.
This is just the latest version of it, you know, essentially. And I really wanted to see it for a couple of reasons. One is Elizabeth Moss has never steered me wrong as far as her, at least her own involvement into any project. Either it's Mad Men or, you know, Her Smell from last year or, you know, Queen of Earth or a lot of movies. Or, you know, I think of Us. She was in it for a little bit, but she's
playing The Kitchen.
Really good in that movie. The Kitchen. I mean, The Kitchen, we didn't like very much as a movie, but we didn't think her role in it was bad. She was a badass.
No.
Right? At least I thought she was a cool badass, at least for her acting and stuff. So, yeah, that's one reason, huge reason why I wanted to see this movie. And I also heard that it's very good. Just heard that, you know, just on the through the grapevine, through tweets and stuff, that this movie was supposed to be very good. So, I took a shot. And we're going to Let's see. We're going to start off with you. What did you think of this movie? The Invisible Man. What did you think of this movie?
Pardon me. Sorry, I had a burp there. What did I think of this movie? I thought it was pretty good, actually, overall for what type of movie is. It's kind of a fucked up thing. I wouldn't be able to watch this movie or show this movie to my wife, at least not at this time of this point in her life, with somebody control, like the whole fact that it's a mental control to the point where I control your thoughts kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. I think this is early on in the movie, so I'm not really spoiling anything. It's just the amount of control that this man had over her. My wife would not feel comfortable watching something like that. She feels very uncomfortable about things like that. So yeah, she would not feel comfortable. And me, on the other hand, watching it, kind of you know, not to gloat or anything, but not to, it makes you feel like a better person because you're not that guy. You're like, hey, that's great. So yeah, first impressions of the movie overall, though, I found it super believable, except for obviously like how
the sci-fi component.
The sci-fi component. Right. It's not unbelievable, don't get me wrong, right? And it's cool once you figure it out or once it's...
I think we're close to that.
Yeah, once it's revealed, right?
Yeah.
I like it because then you start paying attention for other things, especially with the reveal. Mm-hmm. Then you're just like, holy shit. Now it's like I want to rewatch the movie almost because I want to see if I can catch things, right, from before. But in the movie, you don't know how the person is invisible, right? You don't know how this person, or if the person is invisible, if it's just in her mind kind of thing, and just really is fucking her up, right? So the movie does a decent job at that, right, throughout the point. But I think the movie really just kind of relies a lot on Elizabeth Moss here. And don't get me wrong, that's not a bad thing, right? Mm-hmm. But I think any other actress or any other person, I don't know who else right now could kind of show this kind of emotion.
I think a Jennifer Lawrence could probably pull this off.
I think she could have probably. Yeah.
I mean, giving her own little flair.
Yeah, I just think, yeah, with her own little flares, yeah. I think the fact that she's in The Handmaid's Tale and kind of like these things of like already being put down as a person. We already know like this character's been established as a, you know, kind of that punching bag.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. In this movie, she takes it to the chin many times. And to see that and to see like everything she builds up and then also goes down and stuff like that. I don't know. I like the movie a lot. And I really like her acting in the movie. It's probably makes the movie for me alone. And overall, everything else that happens in the movie is kind of cool. Stuff that happens with the effects and what they do. There is an actual person. They just fuck around with maybe he is, maybe he isn't. They're just fucking with her, the mind, right? Or he's just fucking with her. Kind of the spoil in the movie. Like, the guy's breathing right by in one of the trailers.
Oh, yeah.
The guy's spoiled. Like,
so I don't remember seeing a trailer. Anyway.
I did see a trailer for it. So, for those who saw a spoiler of this trailer. So yeah, it's interesting. But it's interesting just how the mind of how much you can affect a person or how much influence you can have on a person. That's what I thought was really cool about the movie and how it goes on to that. And kind of just building your own strength and, you know, stuff like that. I thought it was a cooler interpretation. And I was really looking down on this movie for the fact that Hollow Man sucked, even though I like Kevin Bacon. I thought it was okay.
As far as I know, there's no connection between those two movies.
I'm pretty sure there isn't, but I thought it was okay. I just thought it was okay. It wasn't that good of a movie to fucking say there should have been a part two. But it is what it is.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Oh, my thought. I mean, I gave it on Letterboxd, I believe I gave it 4 stars. And I think it really deserves it. This movie is insanely better than I could have imagined. Insanely better than I could have imagined. I mean, I don't know what kind of... I mean, is this part of... I don't know. I don't want to talk about the H.U. Wells angle yet. I almost mentioned this whole thing. But yes, you're right. It does rest entirely on her shoulders, but she's perfectly capable of holding this movie the entire way. The movie opens with her running away from this man, from this complex. This, like,
it's a hard scene to watch.
By the shore, beach house, in the middle of nowhere kind of place. And she's escaping. And it tells you so goddamn much. And it also shows you the level of intensity or the level of tension of fucking anxiety that this movie is going to give you, even if you like, you don't, even if you don't relate to the character, like as a woman, you know, because obviously I'm not, so I don't know this feeling of you know, someone controlling your life in the male female relationship angle. Obviously, I can easily be overpowered by many other situations.
Yeah,
but not this one. Not in this capacity. I don't know how that feels like. And this movie does a really good job of putting me in her shoes. And right off the beginning of her need to escape, the fact that she is controlled, manipulated, you see all that without her saying it once. And in the opening, you see because of how afraid she is, but how she has to keep going, you know, when she's escaping.
I agree, yeah.
And then she makes it off and you feel rooted. You feel, it feels like the end of another movie. You know, it does, it's like, yeah. You know, but this is just the beginning. Like, it's going to get worse. You know, like, she doesn't escape him. And the movie has no mystery whatsoever. It doesn't say, like, oh, is he dead? Is this her imagination? I'm so glad the movie doesn't do that. Obviously, you read the title of this movie. There's no why present that stupid mystery, right?
Yeah.
But what it does do is that it does play with her not sure of his death.
Yes.
Right, it does play with what she thinks is real,
right,
for a little bit there, and that's some great horror tension. And there's like several levels of it because you get the beginning scene, the opening, and then you get her like coming back to some sort of normalcy with her living in her friend's house, who's a cop and has a kid, and she's living with them, and it's hard. She can't even get out of the house, right? It's a great deal to get the mail, right? That's how hard it is for her, and it's been X amount of time, and. And then the tension is, she can't believe he's dead. Something's happening to her. And there is a slight notion of, like, whether she's crazy or not. You know? And you think that's what she's thinking. Or you think others are thinking that of her. That's obviously true. And then the tension builds from there in different levels of it as the movie goes on. We'll get to spoilers later. But it does such a good job of pacing all that shit out. It's truly horrifying. Not seeing someone there that could be right there next to you. You know? So I think that this movie also, as a horror movie, works really well because it does amazing things with sound.
Yes.
Because you are constantly listening for everything.
Yeah.
And you're constantly looking at the screen.
You almost hate how much the guy, if anyone coughs in your theater, like, shut up!
Yeah.
Like, Jesus.
Yeah. Like, no, you, I would have. I would have, like,
I think I heard somebody mentally. Popcorn. And I was like, at one point, and I was like, fucking Christ, shut up.
Like, right, because...
And I knew the guy was at least three aisles away from me.
Right.
You know?
Right. And it's so heavy. And then once you find out that it's happening and she doesn't know or doesn't truly believe it yet, it's like that one scene in the morning, she's making breakfast and then you see the fire go up on the fucking thing.
The knife goes missing, right?
Right, the knife moves off screen. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, but you don't hear it fall.
No.
That's the thing. It's like you don't
hear it
so fall. So you're like, maybe it fell. You're like, but it didn't fall. You didn't hear a clink.
Yeah, it's so good. This movie does it so well. It builds all that for you because it also shows you the technology, the way we can make effects is so perfect now. It's so perfect. It'd be harder to pull this off. You have to do some real tricks to make it believe like someone. Because in the end, either she's fighting. I can see Elizabeth Moss, the actress, you know, wrestling with some green screen person, right? That could be happening some of the times. But I don't know if it is all the time or not. She's got to be faking some of that. And she does such a good fucking job.
Yeah.
And the way the tables just get mysteriously moved or destroyed without seemingly no reason.
Right.
It's so good. It's so good. And it says this movie has explosive elements. Has really believable villainy with this guy, this controlling asshole who is like the top of his field in optics or something like that. And the whole thing is like he's ultra rich and ultra privileged and he's controlling. Like has that feeling to it too. And as a general movie, it also works like it works the same way. Have you ever seen the movie Enough with Jennifer Lopez?
Of course, yeah.
It has the same feeling.
It does.
It's the exact same thing. That movie does a really good job. I mean, it does it a little too strong in that movie, in my opinion. But it does a really good job of that controlling nature of what certain women or a lot of women have to deal with or a certain type of man that they inflict women upon. You know, whatever. And it has that element to it. This movie has that and it uses it to make The Invisible Man work. It's a good reason to make this movie. I endorse this movie 100%. And anything else you want to talk about before we get into spoilers?
No. I think we touched on a lot of things that we mirror this movie.
Yeah.
In liking it. And for the same aspects as well.
Yeah.
Or similar.
I really want to show it to Alexi, but she's so afraid of horror movies. She's in horror movies will get her. This movie will fucking break her.
Is this a horror movie? I guess.
I would call it a horror movie, especially for a woman.
I guess it is. Yeah, for a woman. Yeah. That's a big thing. I won't even tell my wife this movie's out. Like, just for the reason of that. A, she wouldn't want to watch it. And I know B.
It's not her cup of tea, right?
It's not her cup of tea. I think it would fuck her up. Like,
yeah.
She'd be like,
it nearly fucked me up. You know, honestly, it's just really fucked up.
It does. Yeah. Well, especially since I think you put yourself in a heightened state watching the movie because you're looking for, like you said, you're looking for something more, right?
Yeah.
To see if you can catch something,
yeah.
Right? You're looking for that. You're hearing, so you're like really focused that you're kind of blocking out everything else, but at the same time attuned to everything. It's really weird.
There's a scene in an attic when she's looking for something.
That's a hard scene to watch.
Yeah.
Because you're like, how dumb are you? Well, you want to say, how dumb are you? I said it many times. But at the same time, you're like, well, you just got messed around with, so this person can't be up there.
Yeah.
Right? So you're like, maybe it is a safer spot to be in.
Right, because how can you go up there without the ladder?
Hearing the creaking and everything.
Right. Because there's only one way in there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Ideally, anyway.
Ideally.
And it's so good. And then when you see the reveal of what her final proof that, yes, right? I mean, not that she needed it at that point, when she throws a paint. Oh, that was so good.
That was good, yeah.
That was so good, seeing the face, the mirage or whatever. Man, that's a crazy movie. So let's get into spoilers for The Invisible Man, starting right now.
He has figured out a way to be invisible. You know exactly what I'm talking about. He's not dead. I just can't see him.
Okay. Now, I agree with you. Adrian was brilliant. But it wasn't because of anything he invented. It was how he got in people's heads. You think about it. He came up with the perfect way to torture you, even in death. Only thing more brilliant than inventing something that makes you invisible is not inventing it, but making you think he did.
He's not dead, Tom.
Dude, man. So a lot more people get killed than I thought. What happened? I mean, I'm not saying just the murdering. It's just like the way it happens. Like, her getting institutionalized, you know, now that I think about that, I think I did see a trailer because I remember expecting that in the movie.
I remember, I remember somebody shooting themselves in a trailer.
Oh, really? I didn't see. No, I thought that she gets, I mean, saying and put it in a mental ward or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, first off, the second her sister believed her, dude, in the restaurant, that was insane. And that was so, like, talk about taking the right opportunity at the right time, because the whole purpose of doing it in public is so he won't do anything. Right. But no. That's why he took the knife from the very beginning. Well, that's not why he took them, but he used the knife from the very beginning to do that to her. That was insane.
Yeah.
And then when that happened, I'm like, holy shit. Like, what does he expect? And you start asking yourself, because I want the movie to answer this. What am I supposed to expect from this bad guy, Invisible Man, to get from torturing her? And she asked that question. She's like, dude, you took everything from me. What else? Right? And I'm like, I'm on her side. I'm like, obviously you're on her side the entire time. But I'm saying I'm with her as in like, why would you go this far for it? And obviously this is a man that I don't know. I don't understand this man. I don't understand his form of thinking, honestly, from the beginning. Right?
That's a man who wants complete control of somebody.
Yeah. And I guess the fact that she tried running away is justifies it in his mind to do all this, right? To go this far at every given point. And even though it's past the point that she thought he was capable of even, right?
Yeah.
Even though she's lived with him for X amount of time. And he wants to like force pregnant her and stuff like that. It's fucked up. So anyway, so we get to the mental ward thing. And you gotta think, she knows he's in the room with her. Like, God knows what's happening every night when this, you know, when time passes. Because sometimes does pass a little bit between her having a conversation with her friend, the guy who was, you know, the police officer, and her talking with the people at the ward. Like, you feel like sometimes, and then the lawyer, the brother lawyer, who I didn't know whose side he was on. I'm glad that the movie kept that mysterious good enough for me. Yeah, it was a good scene. It ended like so insanely. It was like a big fuck you moment for this asshole controlling guy, he was like, okay, I don't care anymore. If people believe her, I'm just going to get what I want and kill everyone if I have to.
Yeah.
You know, it was like it's a crazy scene, man. What'd you think of the brother?
I thought it was a really cool role for him.
Yeah.
Because the fact that he had to, there was some truth in his lie where he was like,
yes,
you know, like, and he needs to like, dude, he's very controlling. He was almost like reaching out to her, like, we need to take him down together. You don't even know, like, you know, like kind of shit.
Right.
I honestly feel like if what's his name wasn't in there, if Aldous Hodge, James in the movie, wasn't there in the same room with her, they might have had a different conversation. They might have even had a different conversation as to like say, hey, we should make sure that, you know, like he's still like, he would have given her like a nod or a wink. Like,
you think so?
Yeah, because I think it's like, it's his one option to not be there. Like, because he has the faith that I don't have to go to see her because I'm going to get the report from him, right? So the hard thing is to follow her if she's not at the house. How do you get in the same car with her if you're closing the door right away?
That's true.
How do you get into...
There's some times where you feel completely safe from him is when she gets in the Uber, for example, or when she... Right. You think of those
things. How do you know? You don't, unless if you hear that. You have to know. There's only one way in. Same way you went in, you didn't feel anybody else come in, right? So it makes sense, right?
Yeah.
But so I don't think he would have gone to visit the, you know, to the brother all the way, because then it's like, how do you get back? It's both feats. Getting back and getting there, so you have to accommodate for those things. So I think it's like, obviously the brother was in on it. I think the brother would have said something had it just been her and him, and it would have been like more of a like, yeah, he's still alive kind of thing. Maybe just like alluded to it more so she's not thinking he's crazy.
Yeah,
but instead we go the other route, which is good for the movie because the movie does it really well. Yeah. Where he's like, yeah, he's a controlling asshole. Like he did it to me my whole life. He did it today, you know, and yeah. It's cool because that also adds a layer to the movie, to where when it does do the kicker in the end where, you know, he's like, my brother did this to me and bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. You're like, but wait, what, huh? And you're like, well, the brother could have just been an ass. Like, you don't know. You could also, you're still fucked up in the head thinking, well, it could have been the brother and the brother was just lying to me the whole time.
Like, you mean the brother could have been the Invisible Man the entire time.
The brother could have been the Invisible Man the entire time. Well, not only the Invisible Man, but the brother could have been like, the guy pulling the strings, not behind them the whole time, but like, hey, you need to control her. Hey, you need to get your shit in order. You fucked up by letting her go. Like, yeah. He could be the master, the puppeteer, right? Or the puppet master, should I say. He could be the puppet master. And the fact that...
Pop-Tarts? Did you say Pop-Tarts?
Huh?
No, sorry.
No.
Puppeteers.
So he, in this whole thing between the brothers, right? It does add that extra little layer, but... At the same time, you know, you know it's this guy. Like, the movie does a good job of inflicting self-doubt in her and in the audience.
Yes.
And that's why the movie's really good.
Yeah. I'm with you. To some point, like, I did think of those things, but I never believed them. Like, I always thought he was the main controlling
guy. Did I, but I'm saying...
Because of how painstaking...
It incepts that doubt.
No, it does.
The movie does a good job of that.
No, it does.
Really, and I get it.
And if you're not paying attention either, like, you can fall for it easily.
Yeah, yeah. Look at me wrong. Like, you see the road split, and you're like, is it this one or is this one? You're like, it's definitely... No, it's kid. No fucking way it can be that one. But the fact that it's still there, you're like, you're still thinking about
it. Right, yeah, you're right.
And that's what the movie does good.
You're right. But in the end, though, had that been true, had this younger brother, it would have been lame. Yeah. It's hard to sell it anyway. But this old, I mean, like when he was like found in his basement of this mansion, McMansion he was in.
Yeah. McMansion.
I'm like, don't believe that whatsoever.
No, of course not.
I'm like, not only do I not believe it, but like that's why he was totally, he felt free enough to kill all those people in the ward.
Did you find it frustrating when James, brought it up to like he was captured like this, like he's like making the case for the ex-husband. Like, dude, like he was like, it's not wrong. And you're like, no, you have it all wrong. And she's telling him like, you have it wrong. Like,
you know. You have to know him. The thing is that we know what she's been going through. I don't know what she's been going through because we're not her, but like we know enough, you know, we know more than this cop does when her friends do and everything. And it's an insane notion. And I like her, like, the reason she's able to so swiftly get the upper hand on him is because once you remove the fear, once you like you know, she's able to stand up for herself via by removing the fear. Not saying that he's not dangerous; he's still just as dangerous. You know, and obviously, if you think back about her hiding the other suit in that closet, which I didn't know how it was going to come back. I knew it was. I just didn't know how.
Yeah.
Right. And you're like, you see her take control of that situation, even if as she looks like she's going to go back to him because she feels like she has no choice.
Yeah.
Like you feel both things at once. But she, her resolve is different. This is where Elizabeth Moss as an actress really fucking pays off because she's able to do, she doesn't look like she's faking it. What she's faking is her fear, the one thing that she's been feeling for real for a long time.
Yeah.
But she's so, obviously she's good at, she can tap that in. But like, she has the confidence in her eyes. Like, you can just see little whiffs of it throughout that conversation on the dinner table with this fucking asshole guy. And he's pretending like he did nothing wrong there. Or he's like, he's sorry, it's bullshit things. And like, you never believe it. And you see the camera. I see the angle of the camera, the dinner thing. I'm like, okay. And I'm just piecing it slowly. And then when she goes to the bathroom, I'm like, okay, that's it. She's coming back with the invisible thing. But I didn't know what she was going to do. And then, but she kills him. That was great.
Yeah.
That was great.
It was good.
And the exact same way for the sister, too. Right? Was it? Yeah.
Cut. The neck,
yeah,
the
but he cut. Made his. He did it with his own hand, though.
Yeah.
He made it. Yeah. That was great. That was so cool. I loved it. It was a great payoff. It's a great standing up moment for her.
What really pays off also is there is that she. He never thought that she would be able to do that. He never gave her the benefit of a doubt that she's strong enough to do that. He always thought that she's weakened, that I've weakened her or I've given her less than or whatever. And that's why it's a surprise for him. Yeah. Well, that's why he gets caught off guard from it. Like, had he thought that she's capable of doing this, he maybe doesn't get his, like, maybe he's able to fight her off at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't because he's so surprised by it.
Yeah.
It just happens.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, it's a quick thing, but you never know. Maybe he just feels.
Yeah, because he doesn't know how it feels like to have someone invisible on him.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great. This is, it works on every level on that. And, you know, the ending with the. With the whole, with the cop friend and everything.
Right.
That was good too.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't understand. That's the whole point of him being there is that he means well. He's a good person. But like, it wasn't, he did not know the severity of it.
Right. Not only that, but he also lives in the confines of
being a
police officer.
And being a man
as well.
He won't understand.
Exactly. He won't understand. Right. Yeah. You know what was a fucked up scene for me? Is when he punches the girl.
Oh my god! Yeah,
I fucking that's
mind fucking.
That hurt me.
That hurt me too.
I was like, oh my god! I was like, oh, that's.
It made me feel so icky.
Oh my god! It made me feel like dirty.
Yeah,
like I was like, oh Jesus! Like every fiber of my being wanted to just be like, I want to punch this guy, but at the same time, I feel so bad for her right now.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
There's some moments in that movie like that.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, we fucking love this movie, obviously. I love it. I think you love it, too. That's our... I can't think of anything.
Listen, there's one thing I don't love.
No.
We've come great with technology. I love a lot of stuff that you said, the way we shot, when the Invisible Man's not there. The problem is, once we get this part of, like, we're getting part of the suit and part of him and going through... The glitching part, I still feel like that's still video gamey, but, like, not good video gamey. Like, we're almost there, but we're not... And I'm like,
oh, I see. Oh, I didn't notice.
I didn't find it believable. I found it like, oh, okay, like, it's, like, we're not there yet.
I hear you.
Like, oh, I was watching it. I was like, we're not there yet. Like, we're almost there. Yeah. You almost have it. Almost pulled me out also of like the experience.
Oh, you're kidding? Okay.
It is kind of annoying to me because I thought
it created a cool effect for me. But yeah.
I expect a lot of cool things. Like, I just everything else was really good. And yeah. This kind of pulls just a little bit out.
Yeah.
It's fine though. What I did like, and I think we didn't talk about it, is. Once you find out that the suit makes noise with the cameras clicking, you're hearing it everywhere.
Yeah.
Right? And you almost want to rewatch the movie to see if you hear it before. That's exactly what I was talking about. Is that it is? It's a very small like audio, very light.
Yeah.
It's just a quick like crick. That's it. Like adjustments, and that's all.
Here's another thing. Another plus for the movie is that it forces you to stare at every square inch of every frame you're in. Right. So, like, I feel like if I was a carpenter or an artist, I can probably draw the house up right now. No problem.
I would have doubted it.
I was staring at every fucking thing. Yeah. When she was out in the rain, I was looking for raindrops that were different. You know how it looks like? You know,
Yeah.
So I'm like, fuck.
Yeah. You know? That's the Hollow Man inspiration right there.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly right. I think they probably took a little bit from there. Yeah, so good movie. So That's it for our review of The Invisible Man. Check it out. It's still in theaters. We're going to take a little break here. When we come back, we'll review our second movie of the evening, which is a Netflix movie called Horse Girl. Or is it The Horse Girl?
No, just Horse Girl.
Thank you. Stay with us. Find out what that's about.
Happy birthday.
So what are you going to do tonight to celebrate?
I think probably I'll just go out with some friends from my Zumba class.
You deserve to have fun.
How have you been?
I've been good. I've been going by to see Mom and going to see my horse.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Sarah.
Hey.
Brian's new roommate is single.
Hi.
I'm Darren. I really like your dress.
I like your shirt.
There's something so exciting about you. You're a lot of fun.
You deserve to have fun.
Hey, you're,
Sarah. Are you okay?
I don't know.
Sarah, a socially isolated woman with a fondness for arts and crafts, horses, and supernatural crime shows, finds her increasingly lucid dreams trickling into her waking life. We're talking about Horse Girl, which is a Netflix-only movie, I believe, written and directed by Jeff Bina or Baina. Movie starring Alison Brie, like, you know, the one from Community and stuff, and Molly Shannon, who I haven't seen in a while. John Ortiz is in the movie. Hazel Armenante, Golden Knight, if that's how you pronounce it. Anyway, bunch of movies in this movie. A bunch of people in the movie, sorry. And yeah, this is a, what would you call it, like a psychological thriller-esque movie.
I guess. I don't know.
You know, that's,
it's a mindfuck.
It's like a mystery, right? A bit of a mystery too.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is like a movie that I originally, what was the original movie I had in this slot? It was like an,
I don't remember. I only saw these two.
Got it. It was I think I picked Waves or something, but I wanted to stay away from 2019.
Waves?
Yeah, it's a 2019 movie. Okay. But I chose it. It was like scope all recent, right? So obviously it makes more sense. So yeah, picked this out of the hat. It looked interesting. And as I was watching it, you know, you start realizing it's a puzzle movie. So obviously stay tuned for spoilers. We'll talk about everything. Before we get to, you know, what you believe in this movie's happening, real or not, because it's one of those kind of movies, we'll save all that kind of talk for spoilers. But as far as the movie itself, I'll start off by saying that I think this movie has a lot of good stuff to it. And some stuff that I just wasn't my cup of tea. Not that it did anything necessarily bad. I think a lot of the scene-by-scene stuff that Alison Brie's character, whose name is Sarah, I mentioned, right? Sarah, yeah.
Sarah, yeah.
The stuff that Sarah encounters, like her day-to-day, as it increasingly gets more anxious, right, and more tension and more weird, is some of that stuff is uncomfortable as fuck. Some of the other stuff is like, you know, like kind of tells you of a type of person that exists, right, of like antisocial behavior, right? And so this movie travels on a line between like a certain type of person out there or a certain type of feeling, you know, of anxiety and antisocialness, as well as and then the other line is the mystery box element of what's happening to her. And in this movie, the movie is fine. It's fine, you know. I think for some people, I think it would be way better. For others that would can see a lot out of themselves, maybe in this movie, or people who can see, I don't know, anything, you know, like their own life in this movie. There are people who would like it a lot better. And unfortunately, it's not really for me. I found out, so but no big deal. But Alison Brie, I think, really good in the movie. Luke, what did you think of this movie? Initial impressions.
Fucking weird. Mm-hmm. Brie's got nice tits, and what the fuck?
You're such a dude, bro.
I know. No, it's just a weird movie, and it's, I don't know, I'm a little confused by the ending, so I can't wait to talk about that with you guys. But it seems like everything that, like, this girl interacts with, like, in that time frame just really fucking impacts her.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Especially that one crazy lady.
That's helpful.
Yeah, that's helpful.
The one with the business card?
No, I know. Yeah, I know.
What did you think, Rob?
Mirror what Luke said. Nice tits. Fucking crazy. Also, she needs a brush in her life. I feel like that would have helped her just in her day-to-day life. You know,
a brush?
Yeah, like she needs to brush her hair. Like she looks like a hot mess all the time.
At the end, she got her hair done pretty nice.
Oh, I guess it only took the whole movie.
Yeah,
all 3 weeks worth. That was in 24 hours. I don't know. besides that, I don't know. Besides that, I guess I don't know what the movie wanted to be. I feel like the movie doesn't know what the movie wanted to be, but it does decide on something at the very end, I guess. There's a lot of stuff going on here, and there's a lot of like, what's that lady, the crazy lady in the who ends up on the middle of the road kind of thing, from Donnie Darko. Kind of reminds me of that character, just a younger version of her.
The Sparrow lady?
Yeah. Right.
Roberta Sparrow.
Roberta Sparrow, yeah. It reminds me just like her, just much not way younger, like, and good looking. So it's just like middle of the road. I don't know. I wanted to, I guess, understand what was going on more. And I know the movie is kind of like poking and prodding, and I don't know what, giving you little here's and there's, but I feel like the middle towards end is really rough to watch. And I had struggles kind of just focusing on it. And it wasn't for, it was a mix of, it was kind of embarrassing moments to watch and hard moments to watch on screen.
Mm-hmm.
Slash, there's a lot of random information and too much going on that it's meant to confuse you and it's hard to keep up with because you don't know what's going on itself. You can maybe think of what's going on, but is it? And then obviously it helps towards the end, I guess. But yeah, we'll get there when we get there.
There's a type of person out there that would immediately assume that this is a breakdown mentally, right? And there's a type of person out there that would immediately believe what's happening to her is real. They just don't know why or to who, why it's happening to her.
I just feel like we get snippets of her backstory, of her as a person, of what and not enough throughout the movie. We get very little snippets. And some that you can kind of see what built her as a character or what built character for her.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't get enough of that to know if this is an actual mental breakdown, and if it is, why it's happening.
Hmm.
Not that we necessarily need the why, but it also, our brain wants to lead to assumptions of a lot of things, and I don't know if that's what it is, or if it's trying to talk about that, or if it's just kind of fell into it also. That's the problem I have with the movie.
That's funny, because I feel like the way the movie handled her background, I think it handled it really well overall, because the way it handled, like, it never resulted in some sort of like exposition. There is maybe one you could call it a scene, right, when she's talking to a potential mate, let's say, that guy she likes.
Yeah.
Darren?
What?
Daryl.
Daryl.
Darren.
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 Darren. Yeah. Well, that. That she does have a conversation where she actually, you know, mentions a bit more than usual. But everything else is like, everything's handled in a world where everyone around her knows her story already. And the way it comes out like in these snippet things. And you just kind of like, in context, can understand her background. And you understand more and more when she visits the sister, right? When you realize she doesn't work at that ranch with the horse, she's just visiting. You know, like, all these things are like little revelations on herself. And I think the movie handled that really well, actually. And if the movie wanted to be, well, I mean, not saying any other kind of movie, but if the movie didn't have to shroud itself in this mystery, I think it could have been even better. This movie could have been really a wow moment, like a whole bigger movie for us, successful wise. I mean, but I think the movie's true failure is that it's choosing to, obviously this is an artistic decision, to make this movie a mystery. I think if it handled her experiences more point blank, some of that mystery elements would have still been there. But if it teetered one way or the other as to whether it's happening to her for real or it's happening inside her brain for some chemical reason, it should have been for sure known, like, at some point halfway through or a little after halfway through the movie. You know what I mean? And I think it deters itself by keeping it as mysterious as it does. Obviously, I'm being a little vague here, too. But what do you think about that, Luke? I mean, did you feel like you wanted to know? Or did you? Was the mystery element frustrating for you or not, or what?
Well, they did mention, like, I think the mother's mental illness and everything like that. So, I did kind of want more out of it. It felt like that. Like, you know, for a movie that's an hour and 45 minutes, you know, what's an extra 3 minutes tacked on?
Yeah.
Show some crazy, you know?
Yeah, you get a lot of that in other things. What's that big movie that I know?
I feel like the movie doesn't want to decide if it's that or not. I feel like it alludes to it, sure.
Yeah.
And it brings it up more prominently than other, but it also leads to the fact that she maybe just really does believe that there's fucking aliens and shit going on, right? In that whatever, or some weird shit that she, whatever else she thinks that's going on in those around her, right? And it's not maybe her family thing, because she wants to, and I know the movie, I think the movie kind of depicts also, like, she wants to not think it's that. And I know we bring it up a couple times that it could be something with the family, hereditary or whatever, mental illness issue. But at the same time, she's just like, I don't feel like the movie decides what it really wants in that aspect. You know what I'm saying? During those middle parts, during those middle to beginning parts.
Yeah, I can see why you say that. I don't know if it's. I don't. Yeah, I don't think it's deciding whether or not what it wants to be. I think it just it wants to be in line between, like, is it real or is it not. I think it wants to make it up to one of those things where you leave it up to the audience kind of feelings. You know, even I think even to the end. I know that maybe you guys. Well, we'll get to it. We're about to get to it now, but I feel like the movie tries super hard up until maybe the whole movie to, like, keep it one way or the other. Like, it could be one way or the other, and I think that's his failure, because it feels like the movie has no opinion on its main character.
Yeah,
and that's not good. A movie should, you're showing the movie,
right? Exactly.
Feels like it should be a purpose to it more than trying to keep something mysterious.
Also, one thing I do like is that her life, it's a very subtle life already, you know, like, very, I do my things, I know what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels ordinary to the extent of, like, on the surface level. Like, if I knew this person, but just knew you because I'm a coworker, I just know you, and I know you do X, Y, and Z. Right, and I just feel like, well, besides that, what does she do? I don't know, whatever little extra things. You don't know the extra things. Obviously, we do. We get to know her from the movie, right? But those, from the surface level, you probably just see this person as, like, oh, she probably just goes home and does nothing and chills and does this. For the most part, we're right, right? But it's those little other things that the movie does well in making her feel like a regular person.
But a regular antisocial person, too.
That's a regular person nowadays, though.
Introvert.
I don't know.
If you want to... That's a regular person nowadays. More than normal,
I think. I mean, that's a regular type of person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the movie does a good job of doing that. Yeah, I would say so. Let's get into spoilers for this movie, because there's some shit we got to talk about here. So, spoilers for Horse Girl starting right now.
And what is it that you're experiencing?
A little trouble sleeping, finding myself places, and I don't know how I got there.
You have nothing to be afraid of.
Do you believe in alien abductions? People always said that my grandma was so crazy. Now I think that she wasn't crazy at all, because I'm feeling it.
Sarah, do you know what happened to the wall? Those scratches.
How old was grandma when she started acting like...
Why? Are you...
No.
Sarah, put the phone down. Sarah, put the phone down.
I can hear the future.
Sarah?
I'm just really scared. You're safe, I promise you.
This is crazy.
Nothing makes sense. Nothing makes sense.
Sarah.
I know that it sounds crazy, okay? I know it sounds really crazy, but it just feels really real.
Aliens.
Fucking aliens and cloning and all kinds of weird shit.
Have you guys ever seen the movie with Mila Jovovich called The Fourth Kind, I think it's called?
I think I did.
Anyone remember that movie? It's a surprisingly good movie.
Nope.
For a movie that made not much money, I think. It's an alien abduction movie. But the movie builds up to that, and all the stuff that's happening weird in the movie is actually paid off to the fact that there are these aliens, and it has a very good interpretation of how it feels like to be one of these victims / be someone who's discovering this for themselves. I think this movie comes close to that in the sense of the movie does a good job of showing her isolation.
It's on HBO.
Oh, nice. Maybe I'll rewatch it soon. Maybe I can. Maybe I'll have a better.
No, it's.
Anyway, so this movie has a similar effect. Gave me a similar vibes, right, as to how a person feels of a certain type, and that's what movies should be. They should be putting us in shoes that we don't normally have to be in, right? How does it feel to be inside a person's shoes that, like her, like Sarah in this movie, someone who is, ignored completely, usually by her own choice in the world. But it completely is seen as crazy when she speaks out because of her experiences that is only to her, right? I think the movie could be said that it's a whole psychological, like a litmus test or something of being that kind of person, and how does it feel like to be that person? How does it feel like waking up or sleepwalking irregularly like she does? How does it feel like to let your mind forget where you were 3 hours ago and then you think you're somewhere else? Like gives you that experience, even if all this alien stuff is not real, like how it feels like to be that person. And I think it's not, and the movie, if the movie really wanted to just be that, I can see that. But like I said, the movie does tote between both sides, whether it's real or not. And it tells you everything about the character if it's real or not. And I want to know. You know, I'm not saying I want to know if she's crazy. I want to know if she's having breakdowns or not.
Yeah, that's what I want to know, too.
That was the frustrating element of this movie for me. And I can't tell you what the movie wanted me. I know that the ending is she's ascending to the mothership, but, like, it could mean not that either. It could mean that could be a dream. That could be her.
That could be her completely breaking her mind.
Right. I don't know what it means.
And she's just accepted.
I don't know. I thought it was like it could be like a Birdman thing, you know, where he flies.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. So I don't know, and I hate that. I hate that the movie doesn't make it explicit more.
Yeah.
More explicit, I mean. But
more closure.
Yeah. No, definitely.
But I did like the beginning to middle.
Huh?
I did like the beginning to middle.
Yeah, of me her. Too.
I did appreciate
the movie could have been anything at that point.
Because the movie could have been anything, right. Exactly. And then the middle, some of the middle to end, kind of fucked up. And then I guess the end is saying yay to this alien thing, right?
Yeah.
For the most part, I think it's what I'm saying. Like, she was right.
I don't.
That's my interpretation of it, right? But at the same time, like you said, it could be just her mental breakdown of everything.
Yeah, I like stuff like that because even when it started looking like in the third act, when it started looking like it was aliens, and she's like, she's like confirming it to herself. She's being more confident about the fact that it's aliens, whether or not people believe her or not. I like that. I was like, oh my God, is the movie finally going to do something, right?
So,
what?
No, go ahead.
No. And then she's about to be discharged, right, from the mental ward or whatever she was in, the clinic. And
72-hour hold, yeah.
72-hour hold, right. That was funny. I was like, oh, I've only been here one day. And she tells the guy, like, yeah, I recognize my roommate. And then the movie decides to put in this line where, and that's when I realized, like, this movie is not going to be for sure one way or the other. He says, he starts to say something like, at first I thought he was going to say, you don't have a roommate, right? Or something like that. But he says something like, I'm not in charge of housing, so I don't know what that means. Like, he dismisses it. Like, but he made it look, it's one of those things where, like, you made it sound like, it makes it sound like, he's not saying you're wrong. He's just saying he doesn't believe you.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm like, okay, come on, movie. Don't do that to me. Just pick a side. I thought you were picking a side. You know? And that's when I realized, like, the movie's not going to tell me.
I have a question. You know, yeah. She saw the picture of her grandmother about like 5 or 6 times in the movie, maybe a little less. And she, did you guys think it was always her?
Yeah, I don't. So the
or did you think at one point the
only when she mentioned it, when she or like later
she
on
she brings it up the first after the first time she says I look like my grandmother, after the first or maybe second time at most, but after that. Do you think they switched the picture to have her in it instead and just made it look old-timey?
And I mean, I'm
not I don't know.
Because I feel like the last time we see the picture, I feel like the first couple times or the first maybe 2 times, I saw it, I was like, that's not her. Like, it looks like her. Somebody who looks really like her.
Yeah.
And then the last time, I was like, oh, okay, that's her.
That's clearly her. Yeah, I mean, it was clearly her.
I felt like it was clearly her.
Yeah, maybe that could be one of those tricks, those cinema tricks, right? Like,
yeah, I don't know.
It was someone else, and she convinced herself that...
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go back, but...
No, neither am I.
But, anyway, one
simple... I don't blame you.
Oh, I guess you could look for screenshots online or something. Maybe there's that.
Maybe.
Someone out there did the work for us that we're not wanting to do.
I'll give it a year.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, that could be that could easily be the answer, Ralph, or it could be that it was always her. It'd be awesome if it was always it always looked exactly like her, and we just didn't pay attention until
it could be.
That would be cool. I mean, movie would be. I would give it another point for
half point.
Fine. Yeah. Of because that's a nice little flair.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah,
that's a nice little like because it's our fault that we didn't notice, not the movie's fucking with me kind of thing. So, Luke, what did you think of this whole thing? Of this fucking. The whole second half.
So I think as soon as I think she just has like a, she absorbs everything that kind of she interacts with, and like makes this huge grand conspiracy. I don't know, like with like the burning of that weird incense thing to like wearing only that special fabric, the color that has that energy to protect, and yeah. I think it just kind of was, makes. It, and plus that show she watches, you know, it just kind of all combines to like
that's
one
a CBS
crazy.
Show, right?
I don't think it's real.
It's a made up show with a lot of characters from those CBS or whatever.
I was watching whatever show that was.
But yeah.
But I think all of that just like spins and, you know, in her mind creates this crazy narrative of like aliens and stuff. But then I'm not sure if the stuff she sees is actually real or it's just. Her mind making it seem like, yes, this is real, and so we're going to force these, like, dreams into you to, you know,
but we
cement
also know
this
that,
idea.
Yeah, we also know that heightened stress and this probable heretical component of her, you know, mom and grandma that could be passed down to her could explain everything, could explain why she loses time, why she sleepwalks the way she does, why she feels like everyone's against her, why she, right? All this stuff could be explained that way, too. But do you have an opinion on one way or the other, Luke? Like, what do you think? Do you actually have an? Do you think it's aliens?
Part of me would be thinking it is would be cool if it's aliens, but I think it's just all in her head.
All right. Yeah, man, you're not wrong. It's you're as right as Roth is right, right about the whole thing. Like that's how the movie is.
Yeah.
And there's some movies out there that do this amazingly that give you that ambiguity, and it works better for the movie for it. But I think it feels like we're seeing the puppet strings in the movie making of this by not telling us. And I think this movie just doesn't feel right because it's so one perspective. Maybe that's why.
Yeah.
Right.
Can we give it over to my boy Darren though?
For dealing with crazy,
he was totally trying to smash. And he was like, I'll fucking deal with it, I guess.
What, you mean when he's heading to the graveyard?
No, before that. It was like, oh, like...
up to that graveyard.
Up to the graveyard. He was like, I'm willing to smash. She's good looking and everything. And then he's like, yeah, a little crazy alien stuff. Sure, who doesn't believe in aliens? It's okay, not a big deal. And then we get to the graveyard, like, what the fuck are we doing? Like, you gotta meet my mom, she's dead. What the fuck is going on?
Do you think he was thinking to himself that... Shit, I'm gonna have to fuck this girl inside a graveyard, like inside a grave plot. Right. Like
here we go again.
Also, what graveyard's open that late? Oh, every graveyard I've ever gone to, all the gates are closed at night.
And sometimes, right, not. Sometimes they're the same ones. Yeah. Sometimes they're open for some reason. I don't know why, but you're right. Overall, they're usually closed. Yeah, I mean, I didn't like the roommate thing. It just seems like she was either in the way.
No, I agree. She's just
she's like a plot device just to introduce Darren.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like they should have not shown her after that. And the movie did a good job, like, later on, not showing her at all. But it was great.
They did.
But she was still annoying with it. Deal with the scratches on the wall and what's with the pipes. I'm like, I just want her to stop talking. You know.
What was up with the whole, like, switching the roommate?
Switching? Oh.
To fuck with her.
Oh, I mean that's a discussion. I mean, we just talk about the mystery then. I mean, that's a good question, Luke, as in we should talk about the mystery. Like, what's happening to her? That's supposed to be, the roommate's supposed to be her sister, right? Or who is that? We saw that girl before. Fuck.
Didn't we see that girl, like, on that table thing? No. Table, like, in that thing. White room, or?
In the white room.
In the white room.
Yeah, you saw her in the white room. But
it was her roommate.
And then it ended up being her roommate, but it wasn't her
roommate
original.
In the cell. In the...
Yeah, but then they changed it to the roommate in her house.
Right.
And you're like, what happened? Why? She's freaking out. She's like, where's my roommate?
My first thought was timeline jumping or some sort.
Yeah.
Or like an alternate reality version of her that doesn't have to do with this shit. Like, how would that look like? She would have her as a roommate kind of feeling. Not saying that doesn't make any sense. I don't know why I went there. I'm just saying that's what I thought. No evidence.
Like, you're like, I have zero things to back this up. But fuck it.
But that's what I thought.
I pointed at the sky. I fucking swung.
I'm Babe Ruthing this.
Right, yeah.
What do you... I mean, did it just throw... Luke, did it just throw you off? And then, like, all right.
Brian, I was like, has she always been with this person? Or is she just thinking that her roommate looks like this now? Like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
Kind of weird.
Kinda, you think? Pretty weird.
Just a little. You know, just a little.
Her fascination and her her connections to that horse was definitely approaching unhealthy levels by the from the movie's beginning, because of her connection to, the fact that she used to own this horse, and it led to a tragedy to her sister, and obviously to her own history, right? That it gave her this unhealthy connection to her past, right? You could say that the horse is that for her. You know, and the way the owners look at her and stuff like that, it's both warranted and not warranted. I'm like, either you understand or you don't. You know, I don't know how annoying she's actually being to you. Has she always been this way, or is it like a slow going process? The movie doesn't tell you. But I don't know. What do you guys think of the horse thing in general? Does that mean anything to you?
I the only thing I could have, well, it's a dumb title for the movie, but the only thing I could have thought about is that now it becomes an issue because now there's an actual rider for the horse, right? And I think it was before there was just a horse, and you can come see her, you know, it's not a big deal. It used to be your horse. That made sense. We feel sorry for you. But it came to the point where she was harassing, like, the fucking girl. To where she,
I thought she worked there.
At first I thought she did also.
That's what I thought.
And then I've seen also random movies about horseback riding or horse people who own horses. That I'm just like, oh, okay. She probably, like, she couldn't afford the horse anymore. She probably just left it there.
Yeah.
And then she sold it to them. Like,
yeah.
And she's like, oh yeah, can I just see the horse every so often? And they're like, yeah, sure, come by. Thinking like once or twice a year, and this lady's coming out every fucking week or every weekend, or every day.
Every day, probably.
Right, yeah. And like I said, it probably wasn't the way I took it was it probably wasn't an issue until she started making it an issue because now you're messing with the riders there who are paying to learn lessons and probably like, hey, I don't want to do this anymore because,
It's like taking advantage of a politeness, right?
It is taking advantage of a politeness, but she doesn't get it because she feels like it's still her horse, but it's not.
But it's also one of those weird things where people shouldn't offer a politeness if you don't want them to do it.
Yeah,
and you're offering just to be polite.
But at the same time...
Yeah. No, I know that. I'm not saying... Yeah. No, the owners are on the right. I believe so.
Anyway. Yeah, the owners are completely on the right.
Completely. Yeah. I'm just saying in general. Because a lot of people do that. They would offer politeness they don't want to do. Just because it's a nice thing to do. I'm like, well, then don't be butthurt when it happens. You know? If you're offering it.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, that happens too. Okay. I mean, the horse doesn't... I'm sure it has some sort of like... You know, bigger meaning and significance to it that I am not... I don't care enough to grasp or, you know, other than the personal connection between Sarah and the horse. I don't know. You know, I like her outfit by the end of the movie. Look, it's better than a tinfoil thing or aluminum blanket.
Yeah, the ninja outfit?
Yeah, the ninja outfit.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
she looks so comfortable. Come on, guys, right?
It kind of did look, yeah. Not going to lie, it looked comfortable.
It looked hella comfortable in there. Do you think she fucked Aaron?
When?
She goes to his house. Fucked something.
The horse.
The horse. I don't know.
That's how she died, the horse.
It would make sense. I don't know, I guess. I don't know.
Why did I even bring that up, Luke? Well, I was asking because what do you think? Is it? Well, put it this way: if you think it's on her head, then it didn't happen. I mean, the experiences of the alien stuff.
That's the problem with the movie. Is like I feel like I'm half. Like,
well, she still could sleepwalk her way to his house or something. I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just curious. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where this movie's going. I don't know where like it wants me to really go. Like I said, I think it relies too much on the ambiguity, leave it to the audience thing. I think having one or two elements, leaving it to the audience kind of movies is good, but not like these many things.
Not like this.
Not everything. Not like this, yeah. So I don't know. I mean, we're kind of struggling about this movie, and it tells you that we have mixed feelings on it. And even though I like Alison Brie in the movie a lot, by the way. She's a pretty great actress. And she does a lot.
Yeah, she's good at making me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. I think she's always been like that. In Glow, she has a few scenes like that. Obviously, she's also really funny.
I still haven't seen it.
She plays also, what, Annie?
Not Everything's About You.
Yes, it is.
But yeah.
But no, she's always had like this like bubbly like character from like, you know, Community to just had like kind of trying to devoted housewife and Mad Men, so.
Yeah, that's right. She started off that way, but with Glow especially, I would say, like you start seeing like it's almost like a character that used to be that way and life has beaten her down and she has like this look of like she's nailed down this look of like depression, maybe, or like defeat, maybe defeat's a better word, that she can carry in her roles. And this movie is like a progression to that, like next one, next step over in a different way. But I don't know. I think she's doing good. I want her to do more stuff. So any last things on Horse Girl?
Bad title. I already said it.
Bad title. You're right. Not as bad as Rhythm Section.
Definitely a weird title. Yeah.
Not as bad as what?
As Rhythm Section.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know what? We should tally up. Can we? That's two for the year. We should tally up at the end of the year and see how many bad titles we've gone through.
Okay.
I'll keep track.
Is Birds of Prey one of them, too? Because I think that's not a great title.
Yeah, we'll add Birds of Prey to it. Because I think the Harley Quinn and the Emancipation of blah, 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 that was a better, way better movie title, the original, than the Birds of Prey bullshit. Yeah. But yeah.
Luke, anything else to say?
No.
All right. So that's Horse Girl. We're going to take another break here. We're going to, when we come back, we will review our last movie of the evening, which is going to be part of a marathon, our brand new marathon. We're going to
dun, dun, dun.
The Third Man, which I think is from 1949 by Carol Reed.
1949, yeah.
Find that
you were a teenager in those times, right?
No, I was like 9 years old, but close.
At the cusp.
Close. But I did see Gone with the Wind in theaters. Anyway, so stay with us.
Victims? Don't be melodramatic. Look down there. Would you really feel any pity if one of those dots stop moving forever? If I offered you £20,000 for every dot that stopped, would you really, old man, tell me to keep my money? Or would you calculate how many dots you could afford to spend? Free of income tax, old man. Free of income tax. The only way you can save money nowadays.
A lot of good your money will do you in jail.
That jail's in another zone. There's no proof against me. Besides you. I should be pretty easy to get rid of. Pretty easy? Wouldn't be too sure. I carry a gun. Don't think they'd look for a bullet wound after you hit that ground. Dug up your coffin. And found Harbin? Holly, What fools we are talking to each other this way, as though I'd do anything to you. Or you to me. You're just a little mixed up about things in general. Nobody thinks in terms of human beings. Governments don't. Why should we? They talk about the people and the proletariat. I talk about the suckers and the mugs. It's the same thing. They have their 5-year plans. So have I.
You used to believe in God.
Well, I still do believe in God, only. I believe in God and mercy and all that, but the dead are happier dead. They don't miss much here, poor devils.
An American pulp writer arrives in post-WW2, World War II, Vienna, only to find out that the friend who waited for him is killed under mysterious circumstances. The ensuing mystery entangles him in his friend's involvement in the black market, with the multinational police, and with his Czech girlfriend.
For a second there, I was like, what movie the fuck is he talking about? I was like, I didn't see this movie at all.
Yeah, I know, it did look a little weird, but the other ones look weirder, honestly, the other synopsis here. But Czechoslovakian, at the time there was Czechoslovakia, not anymore, obviously. Okay, this is The Third Man from 1949, directed by Carol Reed, and written by Graham Greene, that writer, Graham Greene. Apparently a story by Alexander Korda. Orson Welles uncredited as one of the writers, too, but I don't know why that is. This movie stars... Also, Orson Welles a little bit. Joseph Cotten, Alida Valli, Trevor Howard, Bernard Lee, Ernst Deutsch. I don't know. And that's it for now, I guess. This movie is starring a bunch of people that are all dead now.
Hopefully. Or they're really fucking old.
Or they're really fucking old, right. All right. Classic crime esque mystery box kind of movie. All right, it's my first one for the. This is a marathon that is spear. That's a headlining, highlighting. Sorry, the Sight and Sound top 100 something movies. I think it's just plain 100 movies of all time, and this is a kind of a revered establishment institution, you know, in England. That every 10 years, you know, so every decade marks a new revisal and a new review of their list, and as well as the many things that they do throughout the years of highlighting movies and criticisms of movies and art film and stuff like that, and the art form of movies. Anyway, so we're going to go through the list at random times. We're not going to go through any specific number. We're all going to choose as we go. And this is just the first one of this new marathon. And I went with The Third Man, one, because I haven't seen it in a long time. Good excuse to see it. I've seen it before, but just the once before. And I remember liking it a lot. I know we like, in general, the three of us, we prefer probably this kind of movie over, like, a romantic movie, let's say, or over other kinds. Like, we like figuring stuff out in movies.
Maybe not today, but tomorrow.
But someday. For the rest of your life, dancing. And I think this is a really good template for a lot of movies that have come since. The Third Man does a lot of that for a lot of people. Like, we think of storytelling and how to keep suspense or facts going in a story within that story. How to tell a story with like a fish out of water. It's a fish out of water tale also, because you have this American in a new place for the first time. And I think it does a lot of things really, really good. Really, really great, actually. And it has a great third act build-up, I feel, that it really sells for me. And I don't want to have a spoiler session for this movie, not just because it's so old, but I feel like this movie is held better if we, off the bat, start talking about the movie itself as a whole piece, not just the non-spoiler parts. So, without further ado, Raf, are you going to tell us what you thought of The Third Man? It's your first time, I assume?
Yes, it was.
Okay, what did you think?
Overall, I thought it was, my voice was cracking there, but it is what it is. Overall, I thought the movie was, fucking, as I was telling you when I texted you, I think when I was watching the movie or just about finished the movie, was zero fat or very little fat at this movie. This movie is just like, no, let's go.
time travel here. Nope. Edit here. Let's go. We're plot, 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 plot. And you're like, fucking Jesus Christ. Just fucking keep swinging. It's hurting. Yeah. So, yeah, it was interesting. It's just that type of movie. It doesn't, you don't exist that much anymore. Now you let movies breathe and shit, you know? this movie did not let me breathe. At least the beginning. It does eventually. Don't get me wrong. But it's just like, it is kind of like all in your face. But I liked it. It was a cool movie. It was, a film noir mystery thriller, I suppose, towards the end. The film noir part. The whole thing about the, I like the fact that this movie isn't shot in the United States. I think does really good for this movie. Mm-hmm. It's shot in Vienna, right?
I believe so. Yes, and it has a very Phoenix movie vibe, or like it's
you still post war.
You can still see the remnants of World War II.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. So it's post war in Vienna, post World War II, and or at least that's what I think it is. Right? Well, it should be World War II, and they're. It is interesting to watch that setting and the fish out of water. It helps a lot for the movie, I think. The fact that you have this cowboy who is willing to disrupt and move the rocks around and everything and actually make the whole reason for the movie go, you know? I feel like here in the States, we would want to do our due diligence more in comparison, or there'd be more of a reason for an outcry, right?
Yeah.
And in comparison to this one, is everybody is telling him to just let it go, you know, to a certain extent. But I like the movie, and I like the third act, and I like the third act a lot, especially once you figure out the twist, or once the twist is introduced. It's really cool. It's a really cool movie, and I did feel like it was a little long, but there's like no fat, like I was saying throughout the movie. So it's the most fat you can get, I guess, is him and her talking together. What's her name in the movie? I forgot already.
Oh, I did forget.
Anna. Was,
yeah.
Yeah. So Joseph Cotton's Holly and Anna. Yeah. There's, I guess, some of the times when they talk, more of the character building on their end.
Yeah.
And it's really not that bad. It's good. It's all meant to. They're trying to have a relation together, you know, or he's just trying to get a relation with her because she feels very distant. But yeah, overall, the movie was cool, and I liked the introduction of Orson Welles in the movie with our twist. We said we're no spoiling, right? So it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You can spoil
whatever. Yeah, yeah. So I really did like the fact that he faked his own death. That was super cool.
Yeah.
Super smart and ingenious, and it also kind of like left him to like, oh, if my buddy doesn't figure it out, it's not a big deal. I'll just, you know, he'll go home and nothing will happen. And I didn't get him involved in anything. But if he wants to get involved in something, I can totally have him involved. And that's a pretty cool thing in the movie, you know.
Yeah.
It's just that obviously they grew in two separate cultures. And you can tell by just the fact that what he writes about, like, is the big, he's writing westerns and he's writing about, you know, good guys and bad guys and shit like that. So
yeah, things are not happening in the world anymore.
Right, very much so.
Yeah.
So yeah, cool movie overall. Yeah.
Luke?
All right. Same thing as Ralph. Movie cut out a lot of the fat, so great editing on that part, or even writing. Feels like this guy could do no wrong. Everyone he goes to talk to is just the right person. They're going to give him just the right amount of information.
Very true.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
Like nowadays, man, you'd have to like trick it a little more, right? Like,
I gotta give my buddy I gotta give him props to, like, the body's not even cold and he's already trying to tap his fucking friend's wife.
Yeah.
Cold.
What a real asshole though, this fucking
guy. Not a wife, right? It's
just right.
A girlfriend.
Girlfriend.
Yeah. Oh, girlfriend, wife, whatever. Still trying to tap that.
His friend did that to him.
Right.
He was still alive.
Yeah. So this is your first time, Luke, I assume?
First time seeing it. Although I'm pretty sure I've seen, like, bits of it, or, like, if certain, like, movies, like, mimic or parody, like, some of the things they, like, certain scenes were very familiar to me.
Yeah, I've seen certain scenes of this movie as well.
Oh, you have? Okay.
I think the stuff in the, especially towards the end with Orson Welles.
I did see it in in some sort of film class. My first time, I believe.
Oh, I thought the theater when it came out.
Yeah. No, they didn't have it like that. It wasn't air conditioned, so I didn't go that day. You know.
Is it when you were still
a
projectionist?
Yes. A cutter.
A lot of use of the Dutch angle in that one movie.
What's the Dutch angle?
It's when it's like skewed, like rotated, like, I don't know, like 30, 40 degrees.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know if there's a lot of it. Is there a lot of it?
They're very noticeable. That's the thing. That's one of the things that really stood out. And I was like, weird.
Yeah, like, they do that on purpose. It's to,
obviously.
It's for a tonal reason, like to tell you something's wrong, right? Before actually something happens.
Don't trust the Dutch.
Don't trust the Dutch.
I don't think that's what it's called. That's why it's called like that. But
okay. Yeah, I wouldn't say that either. So this movie, it also works really well the second time, by the way, guys. So if you, it has a very, when you know everything going into the movie, you see just how good the screenplay really is. How good the story and the editing and the pacing, what you guys were talking about, really is. Because he gets in there and everyone, especially the main character, Holly, he assumes that they go into every angle of this mystery thinking that his friend is dead.
Yeah.
Lime.
Right.
Harry Lime is dead. And that's what they got the whole premise of it wrong. You know?
Yeah.
And I really liked that scene when that one porter guy that dies later on in the movie because he saw too much, he says that, there was a third man carrying the body. And you're like, what? And then that's like the title of the movie. So your ears perk up and you're like, oh, that's the mystery. You're finding this third person that one person mentioned. You know, because everyone else saying it's two people and there was a doctor involved. And then once you get the whiff of like, wait a second, that driver was his driver. And that his own doctor was two blocks away, you know. And you think of all this stuff like that's insane. That's
great convenience,
right? You think that this guy was murdered by some government force or some sort of criminal organization. You think your mind reels a little bit, right? And this guy is like in the middle of it. You know what's going on? Is the girl involved? Is she lying? All these things. And not only was the mystery simpler, but it was actually kind of genius that way. That it was you're asking. If who killed Harry Lime, it should be who, how did he cheat his death, right? Or something, or is Harry Lime still alive? And that's such a good, when that reveal happens with the cat, that was so cool. I love that.
Oh, yeah, I saw that coming.
That was good. I saw it
when coming. I saw the cat.
Because we have 50 extra years of time.
Shout out.
Facts.
Right. 50, 70 years of movies, right?
The cat could have gone to that little fat boy with the ball.
That's true. Man, that kid, fucking...
So annoying.
Like, that kid was
I don't want to wish violence on a child, but Jesus, shut up, fatty.
You
punch you in the phone and throat. Didn't want to wish
violence on a child.
You really do, yeah.
No, but I'm saying that kid fingered fucking this guy for murder.
Right.
For no reason.
And that mob mentality, Jesus.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I like how the movie takes advantage of, because the whole story is that this American, Harry Lime, this horrible person, we realize throughout the movie that he's horrible. And I want to talk about a little bit about how characters see Harry Lime. But he's this American that's taking advantage of this traumatic country, traumatized nation, you know? They just went through all this stuff. This war just happened. You see the evidence is everywhere. And here comes this charmer guy with nothing to lose taking advantage of them, you know? The way people talk about him, that like Harry Lime, describe him as this gregarious, super funny, and, you know, enjoys life a lot, things like that, right? And because to everyone else, yeah, he is enjoying it a lot more because he's taking advantage of you guys.
Yeah.
And also the idea of how much you could get away with back then during this fraught time of like people trying to rebuild their lives, rebuild their homes, and people taking advantage of it. How much crime was let go they will never know about because it was the best time. There was no cops, or cops had to deal with bigger fish, you know, catching Nazis or runaways or God knows what. You know, it's a scary time.
Killing that.
It's a scary time.
It is, yeah. It was a very scary
time. This movie does a good job of showing you the world that you're in at the time they're in.
Yeah, I think I would agree with you to a certain extent. Hmm. The movie does a good job, but it kind of like does hard focus on what it wants to, mm-hmm. and it opens up very much at the end again. Or once he tells him that his buddy Harry was doing this, you know, horrendous thing, and then we get reminded by going to the children's hospital.
Yeah,
you know, once that happened, those are the implications of like, damn, that's some fucked up shit. And then also when he meets Harry, and he just goes those little dots down there. And you're like, oh my God. This guy has fucking zero care in the world about anybody else besides himself.
Yeah.
And what's funny is that.
That's Charles Whitman shit. Those little dots, shoot them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very much so, yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's I would say that's one little slight messed up is that the movie needed to. It kind of really hammered in this what Holly thought of his friend, Holly Martin, and Anna. What they thought of Harry Lime, once they know the evidence, once they know what they know, once they see what they've done, what this guy has done, whether or not he's dead, whether or not they believe he's dead at the time, they have this struggle, this inner struggle, Anna and Holly, about whether or not to defend their friend.
Defend / really believe, I guess.
Yeah. And I guess the movie overall told me, and I believe the movie, what it was telling me, that the Holly was having this struggle. But I personally do not understand this struggle. You know, so I felt like the movie was kind of wasting time.
So you would just rat on your friends?
No, I'm not saying I would rat on my friend. But before you need to go to the hospital, knowing what happened with this guy, I'm not saying I would have been, I'm saying I would put myself in harm's way either. What the fuck? No, I'm saying is that I wouldn't have a struggle as to whether or not this guy did those things. That's what the struggle was for them. Anna was worse. I mean, I don't know. But in the movie, I didn't like her because of her like blind
love, yeah,
blind faith of this.
Right? Yeah, I agree.
And I'm like, and then when she at the very end when she's walking past them and all that after from the graveyard, I'm like, bitch?
I think she's just really mad at the fact that she broke this image,
yeah,
that she had of him.
Yeah.
And brought to light the person who he really was. And I get it. It is a shitty, you know, shitty thing.
Yeah.
And he's kind of just trying to patch up everything, trying to be nice in the end.
Well, his problem is that, like he said to himself, I think he said it to Anna, is that he falls in love too quickly and stuff like that. Yeah, I get that. That's his problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's his
a lot of alimony checks.
A lot of his cross to bear, right? Yeah. He has problems too, obviously. But I'm saying is like I know the movie made it clear and everything. Like I said, I understand, but I don't get it. Is that I just don't feel how these people feel this way about this person.
That's the whole morality of anything, right? Yeah. Of why you choose not to kill your friend but save a million people, right? But he's my friend, right? But if you don't kill him, a million people die.
Yeah.
Like very much so the same way.
Yeah, right? I had the same problem with Vision in the Infinity War movie, where like just kill Vision. I don't understand.
Right.
If you killed him before, it would have been fine.
Right.
It is worth trillions of people. I don't understand why not just kill him.
Right.
Why is this a problem? You know, it's like a weird feeling. I don't know.
It is.
Feel weird. Like, why was this even a conversation? You know. But I'm not saying that I'm heartless or anything, but Jesus Christ, how much more can you do? Anyway, so I mean, after finding out that this person is big, if I find out that my best friend I came overseas to doesn't give a shit about me and all these people that he's saying they're just fucking ants down there, and I find out he took penicillin that led to children dying, that's not my friend anymore.
That's not the same person I know.
That's not my friend anymore. I don't give a shit what you call me, if a rat or whatever. I'm not saying I would put myself in harm's way, but that's a different take. But yeah, that guy is not the same person that I grew up with or anything like that. But and this movie has like this weird like good person bad thing and struggle that I didn't. Anna's thing is insane to me. All her platitudes, all her wise
I wouldn't be surprised if Anna's already forgiven her or forgiven him or let him go with other things, that this is just another like the next step, you know. In comparison to his friend, where they did dumb shit when they were young, but that was just dumb shit and them having fun.
Yeah. Right.
So, yeah.
Anything you want to say? Looks like we haven't let you talk.
No, we really haven't.
No, that's fine. You guys are doing a good job. You are kind of distorted on my end due to this long distance thing, but it's okay.
Yeah, we got to find out an easier way to do this at some point.
Better have no, that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, do you? How would you feel? Would you be in Holly's shoes or Anna's shoes or any of them?
I don't know. If one of you guys was fucking watering down penicillin and selling them to kids, and you know, you'd be dead to me, you fucking creatures.
Yeah, I mean,
you're dead to me because you never put me in the business in the first place.
It's like that Seinfeld episode. Like, I'm like I would turn you into the police. Like, you would turn me into the police. Like, why would you turn your friend into the police? Why are you going out there killing people? Right. Like, that's his answer.
Yeah.
That's a great answer. Because overall, that's
it is a great horrible thing to because do. Because after a certain, there's a line somewhere, right? And once that line or once that threshold's been broken, that's when you're like, okay,
yeah, yeah. I don't know. I like it, and I like the ending. It's great. I was using
Although I did feel the ending was a little like because you didn't actually see him shoot.
Oh. No, like, this is before.
A part of me was like, did he let him escape? Or
obviously, no, before the movies. This is before movies did the head fakes. They nowadays you have to show it, otherwise no one will believe you. Like I think it started with The Sopranos actually, because a lot of people kept getting shot off screen, and some of them turned out alive, or something like that. I don't know, but no, it's pretty. I mean, obviously the fact they went to the funeral means that there's a body in there that they looked at the body. So, but yeah, that's funny though. That's more of a modern sensibility you got there, Luke.
Yeah. What did you think about that, like, last scene of the movie where he's, like, waiting for Anna and she just, like, walks past him like, nope.
She just says that she's fucking stubborn and she just can't own up to her, to changes in her feelings. And that's what it means to me. That's all. She's turns out to be the most childish person.
But at the same time, what does it say about him that he had to stop and...
No, it, just seemed, it means that he's just a star.
He wants to get his dick wet.
He was right.
He's been trying to get his dick wet the whole time. No, no, I get it. He was right.
Yeah.
Right. And
but
think
he's still
just,
stubborn. Yeah.
He is just trying to patch things up. It does look like he's just trying to patch things up with her.
And I get it. She's beautiful. If, if it's a dick wet answer, then yeah, that's true too. Sure. But, man. Yeah, it's a good movie though. I really like it a lot.
For sure.
I got nothing else in the movie, so I think we're good, right, everyone?
Yeah.
No, I think we're good. Overall, some really good cinematography going on in the movie.
Right.
Like you said, with your London shots or whatever the hell you're
Dutch
calling
angles.
Sure, whatever.
Dumbass.
Calling me a dumbass, but okay.
Dumas. And
thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, the movie does some cool things overall. And there is definitely, I've seen, like we were saying earlier, like memorable scenes that I've seen, especially with Orson Welles in the movie, especially in those aqueducts or in the sewers or whatever. I'm pretty sure I've seen stuff before. So, yeah.
Also, I like movies that are where the main character is dead the whole movie or gone the whole movie. There's a few movies that do this. You think of... right?
Yeah.
Okay. There's a few movies anyway, but where it starts off with the death of someone and the whole movie lingers in that person's death, but you never see the person the entire movie. You think of what's that movie with fuck?
No, I never met that guy.
No. Ordinary People. Like Ordinary People is like that. Like movie opens up with this family or with just dealing with this tragedy of their son or this guy's brother, you know, dead. And the whole movie it's about them dealing with this person that's like this main character that doesn't exist, you know?
Yeah.
And this movie does the same thing, and then obviously, and so the big twist, and he comes back, right? That's cool. It also has the same feeling of History of Violence, where, like, there's a huge power in the movie that you never get to see until the very last, you know, the last part of the last act of the movie, you know? He's not important. I mean, he's there the whole time, but he's never there.
Yeah, that's you know? True.
There's some movies that do that really well, and those are some examples there. But this movie does it really good, too. So, now I'm done. Now that's it for the Third Man. Check it out. It's available to rent and buy overall, somewhere. But not like... But I bought it, so I don't know where it's available exactly. All right, so you have been listening to another movie podcast. Don't forget to send us feedback at podmoviecast@gmail.com. Sorry. And checking out our website, otherpodcast.com, for this show and every other show we have. Don't forget those iTunes reviews or ratings. Best way to get people to check out our show for the first time. And before we go, Raf, you are picking the next films here.
Yeah, I apparently am.
So, well, what are they?
The next movies we're going to watch is... first, I'll start off with our Sight and Sound, which is white painted house, Casablanca. And then we're going to be watching Mulan, Disney's live action version of it. Of Mulan that comes up the week of.
It seems to be like a retelling, not like a remake. It does like feel supposedly like a different story.
Yeah, yeah. Well, same premise, I think, but yeah.
Premise, but
yeah. No Mushu. Yeah. Movie's dead to me.
The movie's dead to you. Yeah, that is true, though. No Mushu. And then the last movie we'll be watching is. I don't want to pick it, but really much little choice.
Guns Akimbo.
Godzilla.
We're not watching Godzilla. We're going to watch The Hunt.
Oh, you picked The Hunt?
Oh, yeah. God.
We're going to watch The Hunt, boys. Hunter. No, The Hunt. Did you watch The Hunter, the Pokemon? Anyways, that's Haunter.
The Hunt. Yeah. Is that going to be in theaters or is that going straight to
movie? No, it's in theaters.
Okay.
AMC has it. AMC has them now, actually, for opening day, which is Thursday, March 12th.
Okay, cool.
Comes out on the 13th, so this week.
Speaking of March 12th, we are a bi-weekly show. So in 2 weeks from now, we're going to be coming out with those three movies. Check it out. Until then, I'm going to give up my thing. You can follow me on Twitter and on Letterboxd at Armin Filmmaker, which is Filmmaker with A-R-M-E-N. Luke?
At Slothmaster Luke.
At Don Rafa _ L. E-L.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. See you later.
In case I don't see ya. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.